ಕಾರಣಾಗುತ್ತೆ ಮತಿ ಲೋಕೆ ರಮತೋ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಯಥಾಗತೇರ್ಭಮಸ್ಯೋಸ್ತ ಅಪ್ಯರ್ವಾದೃಕ್ತಯೋಯಸ್ಯಾಮಹೀತ್ವಾತ್ಮಭೂವಾದಯಃ ತಥಾಮತಿಗ್ರಹಣಂತಿಸ್ಮ ತಥಾನುಗ್ರಹವಿಗ್ರಹಂ ತಮೇವ ವಚ್ಚಾಶ್ರಯ ಭಕ್ತ್ಯವತ್ಸಲಂ ಮುಮುಕ್ಷುದೇಂದ್ರಜ್ಞ ಪದಾಬ್ಜಪದ್ಧತಿಂ ಅನನ್ಯಭಾವೇ ನಿಜಧರ್ಮಭಾವಿತೇ ಮನಸ್ಯವಶ್ಚಾಪ್ಯಭಜಸ್ವಪೂರುಷಂ ಸಮಾನಾಂದಿತ್ತೇ ಪ್ರಸಾದಾಭಿಮುಖಂ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಪ್ರಸನ್ನ ವದನ ಕ್ಷಣಂ ವಿನಾಶಂ ಸುಧ್ರುವಂ ಚಾರು ಕಪೋಲಂ ಸುರಸುಂದರಂ ಕರುಣಂ ರಮಣೀಯಾಂಗಂ ಅರುಣೋತಿ ಕ್ಷಣಾಧರಂ ಕನಕಾಶ್ರಯಣಂ ದೃಢಂ ಶರಣ್ಯಂ ಕರುಣಾರ್ಣವಂ ಯಂ ತಪ್ರವಿಶ್ಯ ಮಮ ವಾಚಮಿಮಾಂ ಪ್ರಸುಪ್ತಾಂ ಸಂಜೀವಯತ್ತಜಲಶಕ್ತಿಧರಸ್ವಧಾಂನಾಂ ಅನ್ಯಾಂಸಹಸ್ತಚರಣಶ್ರವಣಪ್ರದಾದೀನ್ ಪ್ರಾಣಾನ್ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ಪುರುಷಾಯ ತುಭ್ಯಂ ಯಾನ್ಯದ್ವಿತುಸ್ತನುಭೃತಾಂ ತವ ಪಾದಪದ್ಮ ಧ್ಯಾನಾಭವಜ್ಜನಕಥಾಶ್ರವಣೇನ ವಾ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಸಾಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣೀಸುಮಹಿಮಂಗತಿನಾಥಮಾಭೂತ್ ಸಿಂಧಂತಕಾಸು ಲಲಿತಾತ್ ಸತತಾಂ ವಿಮಾನಾತ್ ಭಕ್ತಿಂ ಮುಹುಪ್ರವಹತಾಂ ತಯಿನೇ ಪ್ರಸಂಗೋ ಭೂಯಾತನಂತ ಮಹತಾಂ ಅಮಲಾಶಯಾನಾಂ ಏನಾಂತ ಸೋಲ್ಬಣ ಮರುಗಗಣಂ ಭವಾದ್ಭೂನ್ ಶ್ರೀಭವದ್ಗುಣಕಥಾಮೃತಪಾನಮತ್ತಃ ಸನ್ನಿತ್ಯ ಮುಕ್ತ ಪರಿಶುದ್ಧ ವಿಭುದ್ಧ ಆತ್ಮ ಕೂಟಸ್ಥ ಆದಿ ಪುರುಷೋ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಪ್ರಯದೀಶ ಯದ್ಭುಜ್ಯವಸ್ತು ತಮದಿ ಅಕಂಡಿತಯಾ ದೃಶ್ಯ ದೃಷ್ಟಾಸಿತಾವಧಿಮಕೋ ವಿಚುರಿಕ್ತ ಆಶ್ಚೇ ನವೈ ಮುಕುಂದಸ್ಯ ಪದಾರವಿಂದಯೋ ತಯೋದಿಶಸ್ತಾತ ಭವಾದೃಶಾ ಜನಾಃ ಮಾಂಸಂತಿ ತದ್ದಾಸ್ಯ ಮೃತೇರ್ಥಮಾತ್ಮನೋ ಪ್ರವೃತ್ತಯಾ ಲಭ್ಯ ಮನಃ ಸಮೃದ್ಧಯ ಯಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಸನ್ನೋ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಗುಣೈ ಮೈತ್ರ್ಯಾದಿ ದುರ್ಹೈಃ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಂತಿ ಭೂತಾನಿ ನಿನ್ನವಾಪೈದ ಸ್ವಯಂ ಚಿಕಿತ್ಸಯಾ ಕರುಣಯಾ ಮೈತ್ರ್ಯಾ ಚಾಚಲ ಜಂತುಃ ಸಮಸ್ತೇನ ಚ ಸರ್ವಾತ್ಮ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಸಂಪ್ರಸೂದತಿ ಶಾಂತಾಃ ಸಮದೃಶಾ ಶುದ್ಧಾಃ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಾನುರಂಜನಾಃ ಯಾತ್ಯಂತಸಾಧಿಕಪದಂ ಅತ್ಯುತಪ್ರಿಯ ಬಾಂಧವಾಃ ಪರಾಂ ವಿಭೋತ್ತರದೇಶ್ವರಾದ್ಭುತಃ ಕಥಂ ವಿಣೀತೇ ಗುಣಭಿತ್ರಿಯಾತ್ಮನಾಂ ಏನಾರಕಾಣಾಮಪಿ ಸಂತಿ ದೇಹಿನಾಂ ತಾನೀ ಚ ತೈರೈವತೇ ಗುಣೇನ ಚ ನಾತಾನು ಏನಾತ ತದಪ್ಯಸಂಪತಿ ನಯತ್ರ ಯುಷ್ಮತ್ ಕರುಣಾಂ ಭುಜಾಶವಃ ಮಹತ್ತವಾಂತ ಹೃದಯಾನ್ ವಕ್ಷಿತೋ ಇದತ್ವ ಕರುಣಾಮೃತಮೂ ಸಮೇವರಃ ಸವುತ್ತಮ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರಮಹನ್ಮುಖಿತೋ ಭವತ್ಪದಾಂಭೋಜ ಸುಧಾತನಾನಿಲ ಸುಧಿಂ ಪುನರ್ವಿಸ್ತೃತತ್ತವರ್ತ್ಮನಾಂ ಸುಯೋಗಿಣಾನ್ಯೋ ವಿತರತ್ಕಲಂಬರೈಃ ಸಾರುಚಿತ್ರಪದಂ ಸುಲಕ್ಷ್ಣಂ ದೃಷ್ಟಂ ಗೂಢಮವಿಪ್ಲವಂ ಸರ್ವೇಷಾಮುಪಕಾರಾರ್ಥಂ ಸದಾ ಅನುವದನ್ಯ ಸುಹೇಷು ಕೂಟಧರ್ಮೇಷು ಸತ್ತೋ ಗ್ರಾಮ್ಯಸು ಚೇಚ್ಛಯ ಕರ್ಮತಂತ್ರಂ ವಿಧನುತೇ ವೇದವಾದ ವಿಪನ್ನಜೀಃ ಸುಜ್ಞಾತಪೋದಿತ್ತವ ಪೂರ್ವಯಸ್ತುಲೈಃ ಸತಾಂ ಗುಣೈ ಸದ್ಗುರಹತ್ತಮೇತರೈಃ ಸದೌಹತಾಯಾಮೃತಮಾನ ದುರ್ದೃಶಃ ಸದ್ದಾನ ಪಶ್ಯಂತು ಸುಧಾಮ ಭೂಯಸಾಂ ತತ್ವಂ ವಿಶುದ್ಧಂ ವಸುದೇವ ಸದ್ಭುತಂ ಯದೀಯತೆ ತತ್ರ ಪುಮಾನ ಪಾವೃತಃ ಸತ್ಯೇತದಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ದಾಸುದೇವೋ ತಜೋಪ್ರಜೋ ಮೇ ನಮಸಾ ವಿಧೀಯತೆ ಕರ್ಣೋ ಪಿಧಾಯ ನಿರಯಾ ಜಗಕಲ್ಪ ಈಶೇ ಧರ್ಮಾಧಿತಜ್ಞಸು ನಿಧಿರ್ನಿಧಿರಸ್ಯಮಾನೆ ಇಂದ್ರಾತ್ರಸಂಚರಿಸತಿ ಮಸತಿ ಪ್ರಭುಸ್ತೇ ಜುರ್ವಾಮಸೂನತಿ ತಥೋ ವಿಸುಜೇತ್ತ ಧರ್ಮ ನಾವೇದವಾದಾನನುವರ್ತತೆ ಮತಿ तयोगलोके रमतो महामुनेः यदा गतिर्देहमयस्य हस्तकात् तयोगधर्म्ये न तरङ्कुते स्थितः अप्सर्वावृत्तयो यस्य महीपात्मभूवादयः यतामति गृह्णन्ति स्म कृतानुग्रहविग्रहम् अनुभवत्ताश्रयवृत्तवत्सलम् मुमुक्तिर्मृग्यतदाग्रपद्धतिम् अनन्यभावे निजधर्मभाविते मनस्तवस्थाप्यभजत्वपूरुषम् यस्तु यद्दैव विहितम् तेन सुखदुःखयोः आत्मानम् तोषयन् देहि तमसत्पारमृत्पति गुणादितान् मुदम् लुप्तेत् अनुक्रोधम् गुणाधमात् अस्मिन् समानाधन्वित्ते नातापैरविभूयते दशादाभिमुखम् शस्य प्रसन्नवदनुक्षणम् गुणासम् सुध्रुवम् चारु कपोलम् सुरसुन्दरम् तरुणम् रमणीयाङ्गम् अरुणचित्तनाधरम् ऋणकाश्रयणम् ऋणम् शरण्यम् करुणान्नवम् स्वयम् तत्प्रविष्टमो वाचम् माम् प्रसुप्ताम् सञ्जीवयत्त किल शक्तिधरस्तदान्नान् अन्याम् च हस्ततरणश्रवणस्तदादीन् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम् ज्ञानोद्भुतस्तनुकृताम् तव पादपद्म ज्ञानद्भवज्जनकता श्रवणेन वा स्यात् सा ब्रह्मणीकमहिमम् गतिनाथमाभूत् चिन्तम् तथा गुल्लिका सततान् विमानात् भक्तिम् मुहुः प्रवहताम् तैनो प्रसङ्गो देयादनन्तमहताम् अमलाशयानाम् येणाम् दशवल्पनमुदे व्यजनम् भवाद्भूम् मेष्ये भवद्गुणकथामृतपानमत्तः तन्नित्यमुक्तपरिशुद्ध विभुद्ध आत्मा तेजस्त आदिपुरुषो भगवान् त्रयदीशः यद्विद्यवस्थितम् असंवितया च दृष्ट्या दृष्टासितावधिमथो व्यतिरिक्त आस्ते न वै मुकुन्दस्य पदारविन्दयो तयो दिशस्तात भवा दृशा जनाः सन्ति तद्दास्यमृतोर्थमात्मनो अवृत्थया लब्धमनः समृद्धयः तस्य प्रसन्नो भगवान् गुणैर्मैत्र्यादिदुर्हैः कस्मै नमन्ति भूतानि निन्नमापैरस्वयम् चिदुक्तया करुणया मैत्र्या चाचिल जन्तुषु समस्त्येन च सर्वात्मा भगवान् सम्प्रदीरति शान्ता समदृशा शुद्धाः सर्वभूतानि रञ्जनाः शान्त्यम् च साच्युतपदम् अच्युतप्रियबान्धवाः परान्द्रिभोतरवेश्वराद्भुतः कथम् विनीते गुणभुत्रियात्मना एकारकाणामपि सन्ति देहिना तानि गतैरपस्मिनिकामयेना तदप्यसन्ततिम् अयत्र युष्मच्चरणाम् विजातवः महत्तमान्तर्हृदयामुखस्थितो युतत्वकर्णायुतनीशनीवरः स उत्तमश्लोकमहन्मुखस्थितो भवत्पदाम् भोजसुधातनानिलः मृदुम् पुनर्विस्मृतदत्तवर्त्मना सुयोगिनाम् न इतरत्तलम् वरैः चारुचित्रपदम् स्वप्नम् दृष्टम् गूढमविप्लवम् सर्वेषाम् उपकारार्थम् तदा अनुवदन्निव कृतधर्मेषु सत्त्वो ज्ञानेषु चेत्तया कर्मतन्त्रम् तु सनुते वेदवादविपन्नतिः सुज्ञातपोवित्तवपूर्वयस्कुलैः तथाम् गुणैः सद्विरसमुत्तरैः सदर्गतायाम् कृतमानगुर्दृशः तद्धानपश्यन्ति हि धाम भूयसाम् तत्त्वम् विशुद्धम् वसुदेव सद्वितम् यदीयते तत्र पुमानपादृतः तत्येतदस्मिन् भगवान् दासि देवो यदोक्तजो मे नमसा विधीयते कर्णपिधाय निरयात् व्यवकल्प ईशे सर्वाधितव्यशृणुभिर्निरस्य माने कुन्द्यात्तकस्य मचतिम् प्रभुस्ते विश्वाम् अतिर्नपि ततो विसृजोक्त धर्मः नावेव वादाननुवर्तते नतिः स एव लोके रमतो महामुनेः यथा गतेर्देवमनस्य योग्यतात् स एव धर्मेण परम् कृते स्थितः अत्यर्वावृत्तयो यस्य महीपात्मभूवादयः तथामति गृह्णन्ति स्म कृतानुग्रहविग्रहम् अनेव दत्तात्रयवृत्तवत्सलम् मुमुक्षुभिर्मृत्यपदाद्यपद्धतिम् अनन्यभावे निजधर्मभाविते मनस्यवस्थाप्यवधस्य पूरुषम् ಸತ್ಯಯದ್ದೈವಭೂತಂ ತತೇ ನ ಚತುಕದುಃಖಯೋ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ತೋಷಯಂ ದೇಹಿ ತಮಸಪಾನ ಮೃತ್ಯತಿ ಗುಣಾಧಿಕಾನ್ ಮುದಂಬಿತ್ಯೇತ್ ಅನುಕ್ರೋಶಂ ಗುಣಾಧಮಾತ್ ಮೈತ್ರೀ ಸಮಾನಾದಂಬಿತ್ಯಂ ನಾತಾಪೈರಭಿಭೂಯತೆ ಕರುಣ ಪ್ರಸಾದಾಭಿಮುಖಂ ತಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಸನ್ನ ಪದನಶ್ಚಣಂ ಪುನಾಶಂ ಸುಗ್ರುವಂ ಚಾರೋ ಕಪೋಲಂ ತುಲಸುಂದರಂ ಕರುಣಂ ರಮಣೀಯಾಂಗಂ ಅರುಣ ಚಿತ್ತನಾಧರಂ ಋಣತಃ ಶರಣಂ ಧನಂ ಶರಣ್ಯಂ ಕರುಣಾರುಣವಂ ಯೋಂ ತತ್ಪ್ರವಿಶ್ಯ ಮಮ ವಾಚಂ ಮಾಂ ಪ್ರಸೂಕ್ತಾಂ ಸಂಜೀವಯತ್ತ ಜಲಶಕ್ತಿಧರ ಸ್ವದಾಂನಾಂ ಅನ್ಯಾಂ ಸಹಸ್ರಕರಣ ಶ್ರವಣ ಸದಾದೀನ್ ಪ್ರಾಣಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ಪುರುಷಾಯ ತುಭ್ಯಂ ಯಾ ನಿರ್ಭುತಿ ಸಮುದೃತಾಂ ತವ ಪಾದ ಪದ್ಮ ಧ್ಯಾನದವಜ್ಜನ ಕಥಾ ಶ್ರವಣೇನ ವಾ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಸಾ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣೀಶ ಮಹಿಮಂ ಯತಿನಾ ಸಮಾಭೂತ್ ಚಿಂತನ್ ಸಕಾಶು ಲಲಿತಾ ಪತತಾಂ ವಿಮಾನಾ ಭಕ್ತಿಂ ಮುಹುಃ ಪ್ರಭವತಾಂ ತೈನಿ ಪ್ರಸಂಗೋ ಹೇಯಾದನಂತ ಮಹತಾಂ ಅಮಲಾಶಯಾನಾಂ ಏನಾಂ ಪ್ರಸೋಲ್ಬಣಮರೂಪಗಣಂ ಭವಾದ್ಯೂನ್ ಮೇಷೇ ಭವದ್ಗುಣ ಕಥಾಮೃತಪಾನಮತ್ತಃ ಸಂಯುಕ್ತಂ ಸ್ವಪರಿಶುದ್ಧ ಪರಿಶುದ್ಧ ಆತ್ಮ ಕೋಟಸ್ಥ ಆದಿಪುರುಷೋ ಭಗವಾನ್ ತ್ರಯದೀಶಃ ಯದ್ಬುದ್ಧವಸ್ಥಿತಂ ಅಖಂಡಿತಯಾ ಸದೃಶ್ಯ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಓಮಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯಾ ಚಕ್ಷುರೋನ್ಮಿಳಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ನಮೋಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣೀ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ second verse number 10 and verse number 11. Sarvatman achyate sarve tivraugam bhakti mudvahan dadarshatmani bhuteshu samyeva vasti tam vibhum. So the previous verse described how Dhruva Maharaj performed the duties of a king. Previous verse has described that how Dhruva Maharaj performed the various sacrifices, and he gave charity to the citizens in profuse quantity. Now in this verse it is described how Dhruva Maharaj performed a devotional service. So Prabhupada says that Dhruva Maharaj performed a devotional service with unrelenting force, tivrauga bhakti mudvahan. So we see that it's not that Dhruva Maharaj performed intense devotional service only when he was a small boy, but even as a king, even after so many years, throughout his life he performed intense devotional service. So usually, initially, we perform little intense, but then as time progresses, our intensity goes down. But here it is explained that Dhruva Maharaj performed intense bhakti, tivrauga bhakti mudvahan. And then this verse also explains the vision of Dhruva Maharaj. Dadar shatmani bhuteshu tam eva avastitam vibhum. So he could see that he could see the Supreme Lord situated within himself, and he could see how the Supreme Lord was situated in all living beings. And Prabhupada also says that the Lord is called Achyuta because he never fails in his prime duty to give protection to his devotees. So in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada explains that in the case of the karmis, they only perform fruitive activities. They perform only different sacrifices, karmakanda sacrifices. But in the previous verse described how Dhruva Maharaj performed so many sacrifices. But this verse explained that Dhruva Maharaj not only performed different sacrifices, he had to perform as a matter of duty, in order to set example for the citizens as a king. But he also performed intense devotional service. There is a difference between the karmis and devotees. Karmis do not engage in devotional service, they only perform fruitive activities. And in Prabhupada, the rest of the purport, he talks about the vision of a Mahabhagavat. So there is a verse in the 11th canto when Krishna talks about the Navayogendras. And they talk about the three kinds of devotees, Kanishta, Madhyam and Uttamadhikari. And they explain the vision of your Mahabhagavat. Sarva Bhuteshu Yaha Pashye Bhagavat Bhavam Atmanaha Bhutani Bhagavat Yatman Yesha Bhagavata Uttama. So Prabhupada, the purport, he also talks about the vision of a Mahabhagavat. So Sarva Bhuteshu Yaha Pashye, that means advanced devotee sees within everything the Supreme Lord, and consequently he sees systematically everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. So Vishnu Chakrabhu explains, sometimes when you hear about the vision of your Mahabhagavat, we think that when it is mentioned that Mahabhagavat sees Krishna in everything, that sometimes people misunderstand the vision of a Mahabhagavat in the sense that they see Krishna swam at every moment. In the sense that suppose when they see a tree, they don't see the tree form, the tree gets transformed into Krishna and they see the Krishna's form at every moment. So one may think that that is how the Mahabhagavat see everything. But Vishnu explains that actually pure devotees, it is not that they literally see Krishna's form at every moment. It is not that like they see a tree or a plant or some animal, literally that form gets transformed into Krishna. Because it is not like that. He says that they do not see the tree transform into Krishna's form, but they see the tree and everything else for that matter in relation to Krishna. Whatever they see in relation to Krishna. So, when they see the tree, they immediately think of Krishna. In that sense, they see Krishna constantly. So, that is what the vision of a Mahabhagavat. It is not that the palm gets transformed into Krishna, but as whatever they see in relation to Krishna, and they think of Krishna whenever they see any form. So, Shivaram Maharaj explains in his book, he says that we should understand the qualification of the Mahabhagavat is their overwhelming desire to see Krishna. So, because they have the overwhelming desire to see Krishna, whatever they see that in relation to Krishna, or they think of Krishna by seeing anything. So, that is what when we say that a vision of a Mahabhagavat. The next verse describes the qualities of Dhruva Maharaj.
Tamevam shila sampannam brahmanyam dinavatsalam goptaram dharma setunam menure pitaram praja. Dhruva Maharaj was endowed with all godly qualities. He was very respectful to the devotees of the Supreme Lord, very kind to the poor and innocent, and he protected religious principles. With all these qualifications, he was considered to be the direct father of all the citizens.
So first thing which is mentioned is he was actually having so many good qualities, Shila Sampannam, he was having so many godly qualities. So Prabhupada explains, not only a king, even the leaders of a modern democratic or impersonal government must be qualified with all these godly characteristics. So in the whole purport, Prabhupada talks about the different qualities of Dhruva Maharaj mentioned in the purport, and then he compares what is the situation in the current day and age in Kali Yuga. So then Prabhupada talks about how the citizens, like Dhruva Maharaj was like a kind father to all the citizens. He was very affectionate to all the citizens. But at the present moment, father means he takes care of all the needs of the children and then he maintains them emotionally and physically. But at the present moment, there is no guarantee by the government to the citizens even to give physical protection. And for the protecting the property of the citizens. That is the present state. And then he explains the word Brahmanya means Dhruva Maharaj was devoted to the Brahmanas. So, Brahmanas means who engage in the study of the Vedas and thereby know the Supreme Personality of God. So, the state should be very respectful to societies that distribute God consciousness all over the world. But at the present moment, there is no state or government support given to such movements. And then Prabhupada explains the word Shila Sampannam. So, and presently, Prabhupada explains that like whenever we approach the government for any support and they say no, as if they are actually paid to say no. So, that is the situation now. And then he explains the word Dina Vatsalam. So Dina Vatsalam means he was very kind to the innocent. So in that regard Prabhupada explains that nowadays the state is actually maintaining slaughterhouses and killing so many innocent animals. So in that sense he says as a conclusion Prabhupada explains If we have to compare Dhruva Maharaj's rules with the present rules, there is no question of comparison. Because when you are comparing, there should be something similarity. But in the present state, there is no actual question of comparison because it is exactly opposite to what is there in the Dhruva Maharaj's rules. So the governmental administration in the present age is bereft of all good qualities, godly qualities. So therefore, people have no alternative but to take to Krishna consciousness. So the next verse describes the humility of Dhruva Maharaj according to Vishnu Thakur. Shatrimshat varsha sahasram sashasa kshiti mandalam bhogai punyakshayam kurvan abhogai asubakshayam.
Dhruva Maharaj ruled over this planet for 36,000 years, diminished the reactions of pious activities by enjoyment, and by practicing austerity he diminished inauspicious reactions.
So what Prabhupada has translated, he says that Dhruva Maharaj diminished the results of the pious activities by enjoyment, and he diminished the results of the sinful activities by austerity. So, but Vishnu Chakravarti gives an interesting point. He says, especially this word, the third line of the word, Bhogai Punyakshayam Kurvan. Bhogai Punyakshayam Kurvan. Kurvan means, he says, here it means, Dhruva Maharaj desiring to decrease his pious results by enjoyment. It is not, Kurvan here means, Dhruva Maharaj desiring to decrease his pious results by bhogai, by enjoyment, and desiring to destroy his sinful reactions by austerity, he ruled the earth for 36,000 years. So, what is the significance of this meaning, like desiring to decrease? So that means, actually Dhruva Maharaj did not have any pious reactions or sinful reactions to actually get extinguished. So it is his humility which was making him to think that, oh, I have to actually get rid of my reactions of pious activities and the reactions of the sinful activities. The humility of Dhruva Maharaj is actually making him think like that, making him desire to actually extinguish the pious and sinful reactions. So this is a interesting point. So that means, if you see, actually there is a very similar purport in Kritu Maharaj section and also in Bharat Maharaj section in the fifth canto. So what we can understand is that Dhruva Maharaj, he actually performed devotional service for 36,000 years. But actual result of devotional service, performing devotional service in the right attitude is that it produces humility. And humility means what? A person does not think himself to be special. Like Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita purport that humility means to not be anxious of being respected or honored. Means like a person does not think himself to be special. So usually when a person thinks himself to be special, then a person thinks, oh, I perform a devotional service, I should not get any reaction. But when a person actually performs devotional service in the right attitude, he feels that I am such a low devotee, I must be having so many reactions to exhaust. So a person feels that, oh, I have to exhaust these reactions by performing austerities and by enjoyment. So that means like this is the actual sign of devotional service. Usually, sometimes when there is a great calamity happens, and there is a great calamity like a few years back, there was a plane crash in which so many devotees died. And many people were actually, some of them, the faith was shaken. They were saying, why, how is it that devotees can die in the plane crash? Because they are all performing devotional service, how can they actually die in such a... But the fact that when a person thinks like that, how can I get such a reaction in my life? So that is the proof that you have not performed a devotional service in the right attitude. Because if a person performs devotional service in the right attitude, he will feel that, oh, this is just a result of my karma. I'm just, you will not feel that, oh, all my reactions are gone. So this is the humility of devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj is making him think like that. That's why he is thinking that I have to, he is desiring to decrease his pious results. So Prabhupada in the purport, Prabhupada talks about, first he talks about the lifespan of the different yugas, because it explained that Dhruva Maharaj ruled the planet for 36,000 years. And then he says, a devotee is actually not interested in enjoyment or affected by distress. Because according to Prabhupada's translation, he says, Dhruva Maharaj exhausted his reactions of pious activities by enjoyment and exhausted the sinful reactions by austerity. So does it mean that Dhruva Maharaj tried to enjoy some sense gratification or something like this? So Prabhupada is clarifying by saying, a devotee, when he is prosperous, he knows that, oh, I am just diminishing the real results of my pious activities. And when he is in distress, he thinks that I am diminishing the reactions of my impious activities. A devotee is not concerned with enjoyment or distress, he simply desires to execute devotional service. And then another point that Prabhupada explains is that when it is mentioned a devotee exhausts the pious activities by enjoyment and exhausts the sinful reactions by austerity. He is like, what austerity does a devotee perform? So it is not that a devotee performs some separate vrata or something. He just performs the austerities in devotional service like Ekadashi vrata and similar other observing fasting in similar other auspicious days and practicing the observing the four regulative principles. And as far as enjoyment, Prabhupada explains that because a devotee engages in devotional service, which is the most pious activity, he enjoys life without separate endeavor. But it is explained that he exhausts his pious reactions of pious activity by enjoyment. So devotional service itself is a pious activity, therefore he enjoys life without separate endeavor. So that's how Prabhupada explains this point. So next verse.
Evam bhagusavam kalam mahatma avichalendriyah trivargau payitam mitva putra yadandru pasanam. Until then, great soul Dhruva Maharaj thus passed many years favorably executing three kinds of worldly activities, namely religiosity, economic development, and satisfaction of all material desires. Thereafter, he handed over the charge of the royal throne to his son.
So the next three verses, 14 to 16, these three verses describe how Dhruva Maharaj retired to Badrikashram after handing over the kingdom to his son. So here it is explained that for a Bahusavam, for many years, for many years Dhruva Maharaj executed Dharma, Artha and Kama, and then followed the principles of Dharma, Artha and Kama. Trivargau Payikam Nitva Mahatma Avichalendriya. Avichalendriya means Dhruva Maharaj is a great soul, Mahatma, without being disturbed by sense agitation. He practiced Dharma, Artha and Kama. And then he handed over the kingdom to his son, Putra Yadan Drupasanam. So Prabhupada gives two meanings to the word Avichala Indriya. So one meaning is that he was not disturbed by the agitation of the senses. And second meaning is that although Dhruva Maharaj was very old, that his sensory power never diminished. Even at the old age, his sensory power was strong. That since he ruled the earth for 13,000 years, naturally one may conclude that he became very, very old. But factually his senses were very young. And yet he was not interested in self gratification. So that is actually, when there is no scope for sense gratification, so then automatically a person is not interested in sense gratification. But here, avijjana indriya means his sensory power never diminished even though he was very old. And despite having full sensory power, still he was not agitated by sense gratification. So that is actually the meaning of the word avijjana indriya. And regarding the first paragraph, Prabhupada explains the word, explains the trivargo payikam mitva, how Dhruva Maharaj followed the principles of dharma, artha and kama. So he says that one may say, because actually dharma, artha and kama, they are meant for people, the material platform. But Dhruva Maharaj is a pure devotee, so why did he actually execute the principles of dharma, artha and kama? If you remember in the second canto, fourth chapter, Parikshit Maharaj, he actually rejected, that's the verse which comes, that Parikshit Maharaj, he gave up all principles of dharma, artha and kama, trivarga, and then he approaches Sukadeva Goswami. But here the understanding is that Dhruva Maharaj, he as a king, he has to keep his status quo. He has to execute his principles in order to set example for the citizens. Because this is like a role of a king. As a role of a king, he was actually following these principles externally. So that is a difference. So we can see one thing is that how Dhruva Maharaj performed the role as a king in this world, and he also performed the he was performing the role of a devotee also. The role of a king he just performed just for the sake of performing this. That's one purpose. I think it comes later. So Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Dhruva Maharaj, he was actually interested in devotional service, but externally he was performing his duties as a king. So, like sometimes the people, sometimes a person is only caught up in performing the duties or the temporary duties of a temporary role in this world, and a person completely neglects devotional service. And sometimes people, they perform their devotional service, but they completely neglect their roles in this world. So that will actually again create some imbalance. So one has to perform devotional service, but at the same time, one has to perform the roles as long as, one has to perform the duties of a role as long as it is required. So Prabhupada in the purpose, he gives the example, he says that Dhruva Maharaj performed his duties perfectly according to the materialistic way, and that is the way of behavior of great devotees. And Raghunath Das Goswami, although he had no interest in enjoying material happiness, when he was interested in doing something, in managing the state, he did it perfectly. So just like I previously gave this example. I suppose when a person is acting in a drama, so one extreme is that suppose a person is acting like a jagai mada in a drama. So one extreme is that a person becomes so absorbed in the role, he actually drinks some whiskey and then he acts in the drama. So he becomes so much absorbed in that role, instead of just acting like a drunkard, he actually drinks and then acts. But another extreme is that a person says that, oh, how can I act like Jagai Madar? How can I actually teach Nityananda Prabhu? He is my counselor. So instead of beating Nityananda Prabhu, he puts a garland. No, that also cannot be. You have to do the needful in the role, but
and we have to perform the role only for the drama, and then once we come out of the drama, we have the normal dealings with the other person. So then another point here is that as soon as his son grew up, immediately he handed over the charge of the royal throne to his son. So we see here, like, this principle is important, that one has to become irrelevant at the right time. If you are going through what explaining the class, that when a person becomes irrelevant at the wrong time, then that is actually a person is being irresponsible, or he is trying to escape his responsibility. Becomes irrelevant at the wrong time. When a person gives up the responsibilities at the wrong time, then that is simply escapism. And when a person becomes irrelevant when a person does not become irrelevant even at the right time, then that is a sign, that means that a person is being possessive about his role. So even though when the son has grown up, a person, when somebody does not retire from his role as a king, that means like he is actually very much possessive about the role of being a king. So one has to become irrelevant at the right time. And by becoming irrelevant at the right time, we actually become relevant to people. So that is what actually Guru Parampara is about. Like, they become irrelevant at the right time, we become relevant to people. Like, for example, if you see that when Vaman Dev expanded and then conquered Bali Maharaj, so that time Jambavan, he glorified the victory of Vaman Dev by circumambulating the whole universe, all over the world. All over the universe he could travel, and then he would actually he glorified the victory of Vaman Dev or Bali Maharaj. But the same Jambavan, in the Ramayana, he did not have the power to actually jump over the ocean. He just reminded Hanumanji about his power, and Hanumanji was the hero in Ramayana. And that Hanumanji was the hero in Ramayana war. In the Mahabharata war, he was just simply cheering the Pandavas by staying at the flag of Arjuna, or by staying at the flag of Arjuna. So the hero in the Mahabharata war was Arjuna. But the same Arjuna who was the hero in Mahabharata war, after the war was over, after the Pandavas ruled the kingdom for some years, and Arjuna was defeated by some infidel cowherd. In that sense, actually, nobody is a permanent hero in this world. So only actually Krishna is a permanent hero in this world. In fact, even Krishna also, when he appears in this world, he actually follows the human way of life, that he also leaves this world at a particular time. So we see that so that means like one has to become irrelevant at the right time. So becoming irrelevant at the right time means, what does it mean is that, like, at a certain point, like, we have to give up our temporary identities in this world. Like, Dhruva Maharaj, one of his identities was a king. He was performing the role of a king. But we have to give up that identity at a certain time. So giving up that identity means that it's actually Shunyavad. So Buddhist philosophy is actually Shunyavad. But that Shunyavad can also be used in the Vaishnava practice. That Shunyavad can be used as a tool in our Vaishnava practice, in the sense that we give up our certain identities at the right time. But in the Buddhism, Shunyavad is the ultimate goal. But in the Vaishnavism, Shunyavad is the tool, but it is not the goal. We have to give up our identities at a particular time in order to actually go ahead in our devotional service. So Shrinivasa is used as a tool and not as a goal. So that is what it means, Guru Maharaj. And if we see many places in the Gita, Krishna, he actually quotes the scriptures or he quotes the great personalities. Like Nasato Vidyate Bhavo, Nabhavo Vidyate Sataha, Upayorapi Krishnanta Svanayot Tattva Darshibihi. According to the knowers of the truth, he quotes that. And he says that, Rishibir Bhaguda Gitam, Chandobir Vivilei Krutak, the 13th chapter. Sankhye Kritante Praktani, Siddhaya Sarvakarmanam, the 18th chapter. He quotes the other scriptures or other Tattva Darshis. So what does it actually mean? What is the lesson from that? That means that Krishna is trying to establish the legacy instead of simply trying to say that, oh, it is my opinion that body is temporary and soul is eternal. Or it is my opinion about the field of activity. He is always trying to quote the opinions of others. It means like he wants to drive the importance of accepting Guru Sarvan Shastra. Instead of simply trying to keep himself in the forefront. So that is, the lesson is that Krishna is trying to establish a legacy by trying to quote Guru Sadhana Shastra. So that is one of the most important responsibility of a leader is that to establish a legacy. It's not, that is why we see that Dhruva Maharaj, as soon as his son grew up and he was properly trained, he actually handed over the kingdom to his son. Next verse. Manyamana idam vishvam maya rachitam atmani avidya.
I heard one portion of Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. When Governor Samarth Maharaj and a group of sannyasis are about to meet Prabhupada to ask him about whether they could retire and stay in dham and chant more and read more and intensify their spiritual life more, because they have been doing that preaching and the management and administration for many years. So when they were just thinking about it, Prabhupada could sense it, and Prabhupada said, after one spends his whole life, you know, preaching and expanding the movement, then one becomes old and invalid. Then one should come to dham and do such a thing, you know. And Prabhupada said, as far as I am concerned, I don't consider myself old, you know, Prabhupada. So then they were shocked. Prabhupada thinks he is not old enough. Now we are all like children in front of him, you know. Then they never asked the question. So my question was this. The Shastra says, Panchi to old from Manam Brajit. Say, no? So, beyond the age of 50, one should enter into the Vanaprastha Adam. Now we see in Bhagavatam many, many examples. Prithu and Arthi, and Dhritarashtra, similarly, Dhritan Ushanapada also, at the right time retired. So, in our Ushan scenario of society, we find that we go from one responsibility to other. That, you know, you become a HOD of the department. Then you become a manager of the center. Then you become central president. Then you become journal supervisor. Then you become a GDC. Then you go in such position where the responsibilities only increase more and more. And for example, the chanting of the rounds, they don't increase much beyond 16. 16 or 20 or 20. So, those who are beyond 50, 70, 80, with people like that, so if they are not getting the opportunity to relieve them from that managerial administrative position, and they are not able to focus on their internalization of the application of the philosophy, then will their giving out ability also not be included? Because we find that it's not that when they go up, they are made more aloof. Actually, if you carefully observe that role, that is even more difficult than the lawyer role. If you attend the meetings and everything, you find that the amount of discussions that go on about the problem starting, that fasting 10 days, twice a year, like that. And even at times when they are, one guru had written outside his board, you know, health problems, emotional problems, this problem, this big letter, and lastly, small letters, spiritual query. That was, you were telling him as a joke. So these are the things that are faced by the leaders. You know, the emotional issue, physical issue. There is so many things people think, and spiritual queries are brought very little to them.
Very
few people ask them spiritual queries. Because most people come with those load of things. My question was, I do 8 goes, 60, 70, 80, 90 goes like that. Till the last breath, one is administratively they are solving the issues and things like that. So, where is the application of the Shastric teaching? That you know, Pankita Vodham, Anandaji, such example of Uttanapad.
One thing comes to my mind, in the case of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was like in his last few days when he was in the deathbed, you know, after he was diagnosed of cancer, he was preaching, but at a certain time he actually disconnected himself from other devotees. He said, now no, I will not meet any more devotees, only personal servants and then maybe others, Raghunath Maharaj was meeting him. So that became a little shocking for certain people. But Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj writes in one of his books, says that the more I meet with other devotees and I get more and more reminded of my role that I am the guru and he is a disciple, and because of that, that may actually make me actually come back to this world. At a certain time even I have to actually forget this particular role, and so I have to go deep myself. And then so then he just concentrated on just he focused on just hearing about Krishna at a certain time, because he felt that just meeting people at a certain time, it will only remind him of the temporary roles. So definitely this principle has to be followed. Because at a certain time, at least after a certain age, the body is no longer physically cooperating, one would have to be actually relieved of certain managerial responsibilities. I don't know how it can be implemented in this kind of health, but this principle is definitely there. Maybe as time progresses, it may evolve more.
You will find many letters of Prabhupada saying that now I want to, you know, do my writing work of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, in the morning hours, and please kindly the GPC take up my responsibility off my shoulder, so that I will be able to focus on my reading and my writing work and the preaching work all over the world. So Prabhupada writes like that many times, but ultimately Prabhupada had to come back to help in administration, because the society was in an infant stage, and his intervention and timely advice was absolutely indispensable in those times. Now the society is approaching golden jubilee now, and 2015, going to almost 50 years now, we have grown big. So the decision of how big we want to grow and how quality we want to grow is with the members of the society only. So, as you said, some planning is done for the people who are grown up people. Then I think our society can become like a golden society. But the task comes to mind because we find all through Bhagavatam. Many, like our Uttanapada left even before Dhruva's marriage of Yeah.
One is in the case of emergency, sometimes a person may follow somebody else's rules, but in the long run it will not work. A person is having a vehicle which has a certain speed limit, but because of an emergency he may cross the speed limit and then he may go a short distance. But if he is going a long distance, then he cannot, he will have to actually drive the vehicle according to its speed limit, otherwise he will definitely meet with an accident. So many things which are applicable during Prabhupada's time, that time it was an emergency time. This principle will have to be applied, otherwise it can create certain adverse effects. Next verse.
मन्यमानयिदं विश्वं माया रचितमात्मनि अविद्या रचित स्वप्न गंधर्व नगरोपमम्.
Srila Dhru Maharaj realized that this cosmic manifestation bewilders living entities like a dream or phantasmagoria, because it is creation of the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord.
So Gandharva, he could understand that this world is like a Gandharva Nagara. So Gandharva Nagara means sometimes in a forest it may appear that there is a palace or a city, but there is no actual city. In that sense, Dhru Maharaj could understand the temporary nature of this world. Like when it is mentioned, this world is like a Gandharva Nagara, it is not in the sense that this world is unreal. Dhru Maharaj can understand the temporary nature of this world. It is temporary, in that sense it is illusory. Thinking this temporary nature of this world to be eternal, that is the illusion. But in the case of the Mayavadis, they say Jagan, Jamma Satyam Jagan Mithya, they say this world itself is actually illusory. So, behind the shadow creation there is a reality. A devotee is interested in the spiritual world and not its shadow. Since he has realization of the Supreme Truth, the devotee is not interested in the temporary shadow of truth. Next verse.
Atmasrapatya suhrudo balam ruddakosham antapuram paridhara bhuvacharamya Bhumandalam jaladine kalama kalaya kalopatrishnamiti saprayayau vishalam. Thus Dhruva Maharaj at the end left his kingdom, which extended all over the earth and was bounded by the great oceans. He considered his body, his wife, his children, his friends, his army, his rich treasury, his very comfortable palaces and his many enjoyable pleasure grounds to be creations of the illusory energy. Thus, in due course of time, he retired to the forest in the Himalayas known as Badrikashrama.
So here, Dhruva Maharaj actually retires to Badrikashrama. Vishnachakravarti explains that Dhruva Maharaj considered all these things were affected by time, body, wife, children, friends. Considering that, he left for Badrikashrama. The word Vishalam refers to actually Badrikashram. So, Prabhupada in the purport, he talks about this point that it does not matter what motivation we have in the beginning of taking the devotional service. So, what is the most important thing? He says that to perform devotional service intensely, then even though you may have the wrong motivation in the beginning, by the performance of devotional service, ultimately a person will realize the true reality of this world by the grace of the Lord. And then the last, at the end Prabhupada explains that even the perfection of life which Dhruva Maharaj achieved can be achieved only by devotees. Even if one completes only a minute percentage of devotional service and then falls down from his immature position, is better than a person who fully engages in fruitful activities in this world. which is the verse which Yatva Sudharmam Charanam Bhujam Hare Bhajan Apakvo Sapate Satvajam. So many the purport Prabhupada may not quote the actual verse, but he just used a translation of the verse in a short form. Next verse. I think the entire ruled over this planet for 36,000 years. Verse 13th verse, no? I think there was a comment. He ruled the earth for 36,000 years. I'm not sure actually. It's purported, so now there's no more information. Shloka is saying Shiti Mandal, no? 16th verse. Okay, the complete year potentially. Maybe it's Bhumandal. Thirteenth verse is Maya Shakti Mandal. 16th verse is saying Bhumandal. No, Shishumar planetary system is not in the earth. It's actually above all the planetary systems. Dhruva Loka, Shishuma. Prajapati Shishuma. He married the daughter of Prajapati Shishuma. Okay. I don't know. Some more information is not there. I'm not sure. Next verse. Tasyam Vishuddha Karanat Shiva Varvikasya Badvasanam Jitamarun Manasadrataksha Stule Dadara Bhagavat Pratirupa Yetat Jayam Tat Abhyavakito Vyasrajat Samadav.
In Bhagavata Ashram, Dhruva Maharaj's senses become completely purified because he bathes regularly in the crystal clear purified water. He fixed his sitting position and by yogic practice controlled the breathing process and the air of life. In this way, his senses were completely withdrawn. Then he concentrated his mind on the Arthavigraha form of the Lord, which is the exact replica of the Lord, and thus meditating upon him, entered into complete trance.
So Dhruva Maharaj went to Badrika Ashram and he practiced the Ashtanga Yoga process. So one may wonder, why did he practice Ashtanga Yoga practice? So Vishnu Chakratapur explains in the next purport. He says that Dhruva, because when he went to Badrika Ashram, there were many sages were there who were all practicing Ashtanga Yoga. So Dhruva Maharaj, out of obligation, in order just not to look completely different from them, he just performed Ashtanga Yoga for 2 or 3 days. Just out of respect for the yogis who were present there. Actually, his heart was not in the yoga. He did not have time for yoga. Vishnu Chakravarti explained that actually he had already become free from all the bodily identification. And he was simply trying to show the common people. Dhruva Maharaj, just like previously he performed dharma, artha and kama duties as a king. He was performing sacrifices. He was showing the common people the path of karma yoga previously. And in the Badrika Ashram, when he went there, he was showing the common yogis who were present the path of Ashtanga Yoga. But actually, his heart was in Bhakti Yoga. So that is the explanation Vishnu Chakravarti gives in the purport of the next verse. And in this verse purport, the Prabhupada talks about But first he mentions how Ashtanga Yoga is never meant to be practiced in a city. It is because Guru Maharaj practiced in the Badrikashram. Actually, if you see, going towards the north means it's only people would go there only for practicing Vairagya. The Dhruva Maharaj, Narada Muni, the Pandavas, Draupadi, so all these personalities at the end of the life when they want to practice Vairagya, they would go. So nowadays, recently I had gone to Haridwar. See, now like people mostly go there for sense gratification. So they have tents all over on the bank of the Ganges, where people can book the tents from maybe Delhi and different places, and they can come there. Per day charge is 1,200, something like that. So people come there for sense gratification, but actually people would go there for Vairagya in the last, for practicing Vairagya in the last stages of life. And another thing Prabhupada talks about, the Arsha Vigraha is not an idol worship, it's an incarnation of the Lord in a form appreciable by a devotee. Since the devotees follow the regulative principles of worship, even though the Lord is there in his physical form, he is non-different from his original spiritual form. So, the devotee gets the benefit of achieving the ultimate goal of life, that is to say, to become always absorbed in thought of the Lord. And that makes one the topmost yogi. So, Vishnu Chakravartakur, in his translation and the purport, what he says is that, Dhruva Maharaj, initially, he concentrated on the universal form of the Lord, and then after meditating on the universal form of the Lord for some time, he gave up the meditation on the universal form, and then he started meditating on the actual form of the Lord. So that is, he just mentioned this point in his purport. First, he meditated on the universal form, because especially he takes the word Pratirupa, Bhagavad Pratirupa. Pratirupa means, he says that it refers to the universal form. And then he gave up the meditation universal form and then meditated on the actual form of the Lord. 18th verse.
Bhaktim harau bhagavati pravasan najasram ananda bhaspakalaya muhurardhyamana Vikridyamana Hridaya Pulaka Kitango Natmana Masmaradasa Viti Mukta Linga.
Because of his transcendental bliss, incessant tears flowed from his eyes. His heart melted, and there was shivering and standing of hair all over his body. Thus transformed in a trance of devotional service, Guru Maharaj completely forgot his bodily existence, and that he immediately became liberated from material bondage.
So this verse describes how Dhruva Maharaj, he exhibited all the Ashta Sattvika Vigas, the 8 ecstatic symptoms, and then how he became completely liberated from the grass and the subtle bodily conception. So Prabhupada gives the example of a coconut. Like in a coconut, when the coconut becomes completely dry, when you shake the coconut, you can actually hear the voice of how the coconut is completely disconnected from the shell. So similarly, Dhruva Maharaj was like completely, although externally may appear to be in a body, but he was completely liberated from the grass and the subtle bodily conception. So then Prabhupada explains, actually this ecstatic symptoms or this stage of Dhruva Maharaj cannot be imitated, and one should simply practice the regulative principles of devotional service. And when a person practices devotional service at the right time, a person will achieve the same stage of becoming completely liberated from the grass and subtle conceptions. And then he says, actually, right in the beginning, when a person starts practicing devotional service, that time itself a person becomes liberated. But just like in the very beginning itself, the coconut starts becoming, he says that from the beginning of devotional service, the path of liberation immediately opens, just as a coconut taken from the tree immediately begins to dry. But you can actually perceive how the coconut is disconnected from the shell after some time when it becomes completely dry. So similarly, as soon as a person begins to practice devotional service, a person starts becoming liberated, or the path of liberation opens, but it becomes manifest at a certain stage. So then the second and third paragraph, he especially explains the word mukta linga. Mukta linga means liberated from the subtle body and as well as the gross body. He explains that the death usually, we give up the gross body and the subtle body carries the soul from one gross body to another gross body. But the stage of Dhruva Maharaj, mukta linga means a person also give up the subtle body and then he gets a spiritual body. So that is the stage. Next verse. Sadadarsh vimanagriyam navaso avataradruvah vibrajayat dasadisho raka patini voditam.
As soon as the symptoms of his liberation were manifest, he saw a very beautiful airplane coming down from the sky, as if the brilliant full moon were coming down, illuminating all the 10 directions.
So now, from the next verse onwards, Dhruva Maharaj going back to Godhead, explains from 19 till the 35th verse, how the messengers of Lord Vishnu, Nanda and Sunandari arrive and they take him back to Godhead. So here in this purport, Prabhupada explains that usually to see such transcendental airplanes, it is not possible in the stages of direct or indirect perception of knowledge. Such knowledge is a special favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one surpasses the stage of acquiring knowledge by the descending process, he is immediately situated on the transcendental platform. And Dhruva Maharaj was in that platform, so he could see that transcendental airplane which was as illuminating as a full moon. Tatranu deva pravarau, tatranu deva pravarau, chaturbhujau, shyamau kishorau, arunambhuje kshanau, sitav avashtabhya gadam suvasasau, kirita harangadacharu kundalau.
Dhruva Maharaj saw two very beautiful associates of Lord Vishnu in the plain. They had four hands and a black bodily luster. They were very youthful and their eyes were just like red dipped lotus flowers. They held clubs in their hands and they were dressed in very attractive garments with helmets and were decorated with necklaces, bracelets and earrings.
So Deva Pravaro means they were the best of the demigods. They had four hands, they were having darkish complexion, shyama, and they were youthful. They were having a youthful body, kishoram. They were having a reddish eyes, aruna ambuja ikshanam. And they were dressed in attractive garments, suvasasav. And they were having a gada in their hands. And they were having beautiful helmets, kirita, garland, hara, and angada charu kundala, bracelets and beautiful earrings, etc. So Prabhupada explains how the Supreme Lord Vishnu shares his opulence with his associates. That is the nature of Supreme Lord. They have exactly the four kinds of four hands and beautiful features.
Vijnayata uttama 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 gaya kinkara abhyuttita sadvata visnita krama nanama namani grinan madudvusha parshat pradana iti samhatanjali.
Guru Maharaj, seeing that these uncommon personalities were direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately stood up. But being puzzled, in hastiness he forgot how to receive them in proper way. Therefore, he simply offered obeisances with folded hands and chanted and glorified the holy names of the Lord.
So Dhruva Maharaj, seeing those two associates, he was like puzzled and he forgot the proper sequence of respecting them because of suddenly seeing these two great devotees of the Lord. And then that he forgot the proper sequence of respecting them, he just started chanting the holy names of the Lord. And so Prabhupada writes here that chanting, sincere chanting of the holy name makes everything perfect. Sometimes we may forget the certain rules and regulations, but if a person sincerely chants the holy name, that makes everything perfect. And holy name is such a thing, one can chant in any circumstances. Whether in a happy circumstance, or when somebody has died, or whatever may be the function, in all circumstances, holy name can be chanted without any limitation. So once, many years back, Radha Gopinath temple, suddenly one day, the pujari had not come for the Vaikalika Aarti. So that time, the devotee was in charge, the service in charge, he saw that the time to wake up the Lord has already passed, the pujari had not yet come. And then he saw Krishnanand Prabhu. And he had just taken bath and he was just walking there. So he said, you please go and wake up the deities because the time is already passed and then somebody has to take bath and come, it will take time. And he said, but I don't know the mantras by which we can wake up the deities. Then he only said, oh, it's already, we just chant the Hare Krishna mantra, that is sufficient. And he said, so chanting of the holy name makes everything perfect.
Tam Krishna Pada Abhinivishta Chetasam Baddhanjalim Prasraya Namrasandaram Sunanda Nanda Upasritya Sasmitam Pratyujatu Pushkaranaba Sammatau.
Guru Maharaj was always absorbed in thinking of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, whose heart was full with Krishna. When the two confidential servants of the Supreme Lord, who were named Nanda and Sunanda, approached him, smiling happily, Dhruv stood with folded hands, bowing humbly. Then they addressed him as follows.
So, Tam Krishna Pada Adunivishta Ketasam. Dhruv Maharaj was absorbed the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And he was Baddhanjali, he was having folded hands. And Prashraya Namra Kandaram, he was having his shoulder lowered in humble mode, he was standing. And then the Nanda and Sunanda, they started speaking. So here, the word used is Sunanda Nanda Pushkara Naba Sammatav. Sunanda Nanda Pushkara Naba Sammatav. So Pushkara Naba Sammatav, it is like an adjective which is described, which is like describing this Sunanda Nanda. So Pushkara Naba Sammatav means the confidential servants of the Lord. Or Prabhupada, to translate as confidential servants. So Sammatav means confidential or very obedient servants. So then he says, materialistic life means a person is disobedient to the will of the Lord. But Krishna consciousness means becoming obedient to the will of the Lord. So the purpose of, so sammata means becoming obedient or becoming agreeable to the will of the Lord. And the purpose of ISKCON is to actually make a human being agreeable to the will of the Lord. So that is the purpose of Prabhupada says. Human form of life is a chance to be trained to be agreeable to the orders of the Lord. And to bring about this training is the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement. And then another point which Prabhupada writes is that what was possible for Dhruva Maharaj is possible for everyone, for anybody who seriously engages in devotional service. So Prabhupada is trying to enjoy that the same perfection is accessible for everyone. Simply by becoming agreeable to the will of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj got the chance to personally meet the confidential servants of the Lord face to face. So now the word spoken by Sunanda Nanda Ardhan. From the 23rd verse till the 27th verse. Sunanda Nanda Uchatu Bobo Rajan Subhadram Te Vacham No Vahitau Shunau Yaha Pancha Varsha Tapasa Bhavan Devam Ati Tripat.
Nanda and Sunanda, the two confidential associates of Lord Vishnu, said, "Dear King, let there be all good fortune unto you. Please attentively hear what we shall say. When you were only 5 years old, you underwent severe austerity, and you thereby greatly satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead."
So they are saying, "Bobo Rajan Subhadram Te, good fortune unto you." Krishna Chakotakur says that by this they are indicating that you will achieve the abode of the Lord in the present body. You will achieve the abode of the Lord in the same, very same body. So here, Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport. He says that one should start education institution in order to children, in order to train children right from the age of 5. Then we can actually change the face of the world. You want to change the face of the world, one has to start training the children right from the age of 5. So many times if we see, like with the mode of passion, we usually, even in the devotional service, a person actually does the, is inclined towards that service which produces results quickly. But like, training children, it may bear the fruit much later. But that is actually great visionaries, they try to train the children, they try to make systems for training the children right from the young age. One long back, Radhana Sarma was explaining, he was doing a university program in America, and sometimes in the college program they would bring some children from New Vrindavan and they would sing some bhajans and kirtans. So in that program, he had brought some children from New Vrindavan, and they sang some Brahma Samhita prayers in the beginning, before the program. And then later, Maharaj gave a class, and then the program was over, and then he was meeting with some certain professors, and he was trying to interact with them, and the professor was saying that he just wanted to know how the professor appreciated his talk, how he felt about the program. And the professor said, "Your movement has great hope because the children, small children are also practicing the same principles which you are trying to teach." And he went on glorifying about that beginning part of the program where the small children chanted the Brahma Samhita prayers and different dramas or something. And he did not tell anything about the lecture. So Maharaj was trying to narrate this incident, and he said that how this has a great hope for the movement. That means, so many times we try to ignore children preaching this thing because it is no immediate result. You have to keep on tolerating. After many years, you may give the result. But this is one of the important aspects of the preaching. The face of the word will then change automatically. Tasya akila jagaddatur avam devasya charginah parshadaviha sampraptav netum tvam bhagavatpadam.
We are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of the whole universe, who carries in his hand the bow named Sarangi. We have been specifically deputed to take you to the spiritual world.
So they are telling that we have come here to take you to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada here says that he quotes this verse, "Janma karma chame bijyam yevam yomeji tatvataha." And he says that Dhruva Maharaj tried to understand the activities and the nature of Supreme Lord throughout his life. And now he is actually going back to God. So therefore Dhruva Maharaj's life is a proof of this particular verse. How when you try to understand the Janma and Karma of the Supreme Lord, then Chatva Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mamyeti Sorjana. The mature result was that Dhruva Maharaj became fit to be carried to the spiritual world.
Sudurjayam Vishnu Padam Jitam Tvaya Yat Surayo Pratya Vichakshate Param Atishta Tachandra Divakaradayo Raharshatara Pariyanti Dakshinam.
To achieve this Sulok is very difficult, but by your authority you have conquered. Even the great rishis and demigods cannot achieve this position. Simply to see the supreme abode, the Vishnu planet, the Tanu and Moon and all the other planets, stars, lunar mansions and solar systems are circumambulating it. Now please come. You are welcome to go there.
In this verse, Nanda and Sunanda, they say how it is very difficult to achieve the abode of the Lord. Sudur Jayam. And then they say that even the devatas, they may see, but they cannot attain the abode of the Lord. Yet Surayo aprapya vichakshate param. Aprapya, they cannot achieve, but they may be able to see vichakshate. And then they also mentioned graharsha tara pariyanti dakshino. Artisha tat chandra diva. Divakaradayo, Grahalshatara, the moon, sun and other planets, the constellations and stars, they circumambulate this particular supreme abode in the clockwise direction. So, here Prabhupada talks about the materialists, they may also be interested in knowing about the spiritual world, they may want to actually merge into the spiritual sky, the scientists, philosophers and metal speculators, etc. But they can never go there. But the devotees, they not only realize the spiritual world actually what the spiritual world is, but they can actually go to the spiritual world. And another point which Prabhupada says is that when a devotee goes to the spiritual world, he also sees all other planets. In one of the later purports, the Prabhupada quotes, Yasmin Vijnate Sarvameva Vijnatam Bhavati. You know Krishna, you know everything. So similarly, when a devotee is going to the spiritual world, he also comes to know about all other planets. The devotees have no interest in seeing other planets, but while going to the spiritual world, they see all other planets. Just like when a person goes to a distant place, he also sees so many other small stations which are on the way.
Anasitam te pitribir anyair apyanga karhichit Atishta Jagatam Vandyam Tadvishnu Paramam Padam.
Dear King Guru, neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such a transcendental planet, the planet known as Vishnu Lok, where Lord Vishnu personally resides, is the highest of all. It is worshipable by the inhabitants of all other planets within the universe. Please come with us and live there eternally.
So here, he says that Artista Jagatam Vandyam, this Vishnu Loka is worshipable by the whole world, the inhabitants of all other planets in the universe. So here Prabhupada explains, neither the Karmis, nor the Jnanis, nor the Yogis, they can go to the spiritual world. Only the devotees can go to the spiritual world. And then compares even Vishnu Loka with Brahma Loka. Even if a person goes to Brahma Loka, one may have to again come back. One cannot remain there permanently and it's not free from the miseries. And the third point which Prabhupada says is that if a person has to go through a mechanical means to the spiritual world, if a person travels at the speed of light, through a mechanical vehicle, it will take 40,000 light years to reach the topmost planet. But by practicing devotional service, devotional service can give one the facility not only to reach other planets within the universe, but also to reach beyond this universe to the Vaikuntha planet. These are a few of the points that you mentioned. We'll just take a 5 minutes break and then we'll continue.
Thank you.
certain devotional service only, but he told a certain way of sense control so that he can actually focus on devotional service. He told him to actually worship the deity from the Lord and chant the holy names. When you practice a certain way of life, sense control, that helps us to focus on devotional service. It's not simply something separate process. You may think it is separate, but it is in the Bhadrika Ashram you practice Ashtang Yoga because you are surrounded by so many other yogis. In Narada Muni, if you interfere with Ashtang Yoga, then you can be and better concentrate on devotion service, not just, but mainly interested in devotion service, like worshipping the deity, chanting the word. The do's and don'ts, we have four related principles, and chanting the word.
And
that is the four regulative principles and chanting the holy names. Why are you studying four regulative principles? Nothing to do with it. But it helps us to come to a certain state by which we practice devotion service and becomes into the posture for that. Next verse, 27th verse.
एतद् विमानप्रवरम् उत्तमश्लोकमौलिना उपस्थापितमायुष्मन् अधिरोढुम् त्वमर्हसि.
ओ इमोर्टल वन, दिस यूनिक एयरप्लेन हैज बीन सेंट बाय द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, हु इज वर्शिप्ड बाय सिलेक्टेड प्रेयर एंड हु इज द चीफ ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज. यू आर क्वाइट वर्दी टू बोर्ड सच ए प्लेन.
So here they are inviting Dhruva Maharaj to board the particular plane. So Prabhupada talks about there are three processes for moving in the outer space. So it is called as Kapota Vayu. So the word Kapota Vayu, if you divide in one particular form, Ka plus Pota plus Vayu, so then it refers to actually moving in the outer space through airplane. Ka Pota. The porter means ship and car means outer space. With the help of a ship, you move in the air. Moving in the bed, and with the help of an airplane. And if you don't actually divide the word kapota means pigeon. So then the second process of moving in the outer space is the that with the help of the pigeons, one can, because pigeons can carry a person from one place to another place. That's the second way of moving in the outer space. And the third way of moving in the outer space is actually subtle. That is through the mystic yoga process. Just as the mind can fly anywhere one likes, without mechanical arrangement, so the Akasha Patana airplane can fly at the speed of mind. So these are the three processes of flying in the outer space. But all these three processes are actually material processes. Either flying with the help of a airplane, or with the help of a pigeon, or through some with the help of the mystic yoga process, Akasha Patana. But the fourth process is a spiritual process, which is the Vaikuntha process. And this is by practicing devotional service, where the airplane from Vaikuntha comes and then it takes a person to the spiritual world. One second. Later, Prabhupada talks about the nature of the airplanes in the material world and the spiritual world. Once Prabhupada was explaining these three methods of flying in the airplane, then one girl or something in Australia, if you know other ways of actually flying, then why are you coming in the airplane? So Prabhupada said, because I want to be one with all of you. I want to make you feel that I am also like one of you. Next verse.
Can you clear the doubt? Dhruva Maharaj was supposed to be going to Dhruva Loka.
He first goes to Dhruva Loka, which is like the Vaikuntha planet within the material world. And then after ruling in Dhruva Loka for like many thousands of years, and then he goes to Vaikuntha Loka beyond this material world.
Here it is mentioned the airplane sent by Lord Vishnu to carry Dhruva Maharaj to Shishumar was completely spiritual. So what this Shishumar indicates?
Shishumar, a planetary system.
In the purpose, it is written.
Shishumara or Dhruva Loka can never, according to astronomical calculation, along with the pole star, there is another star which is called Shishumara, where Lord Vishnu, who is in charge of the maintenance of this material world, resides. Shishumara or Dhruva Loka can never be reached by anyone but a Vaishnava, as will be described with the following sloka. So, Prabhupada says that Shishumara is a another star along with the pole star. Maybe the whole region is called as Dhruva Loka. Dhruva Loka is maybe that's also part of Shishumara. Sometimes the exact technical details may not be there. It may create a doubt in the Bhagavatam Purport. But as according to the words of Lord Vishnu, he first went to Dhruva Loka, pole star, within the material world, which is just like a embassy of the spiritual world in this world. And then he went to the spiritual world beyond this world, beyond the cosmic manifestation.
It is mentioned in the previous verse when Lord Benedict to Dhruva Maharaj that he will be staying forever in the pole star. And many times even devotee, when we talk about the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, comments in regards to how, because Dhruva Maharaj had material desire, he was not awarded by Kunta planet. So we should also be not be like approaching Lord with any material desire.
No. Radha Govind Maharaj explained in one class is that although when the Supreme Lord appeared, initially Dhruva Maharaj had material desire, and then when the Lord appeared, he was completely purified of the material desire, and he did not ask for that initial material desire. He just asked for pure devotional service. although he had made it clear what he wanted from the Supreme Lord, but still the Lord chose to fulfill his previous material desire. So for that, Radha Govind Maharaj explains, he says that because it is not that Lord was having some doubt in Dhruva Maharaj, oh, he is saying something where maybe he is having some material desire within, that is, it is not that he was having some doubt. But the reason why he also gave that previous material desire, fulfilled the previous material desire, is that because he wants to establish his own credibility. But otherwise people may think that, oh, if you approach the Supreme Lord for material desire, it may become discouraging for other people who have material desires to approach the Supreme Lord. They may think, oh, Dhruva Maharaj was some hypnotized, and then he didn't ask for some material desires, and then he didn't ultimately get. That will not be an inspiring example. It will not be inspiring for anybody who has material desires to approach the Lord. They may approach some other demigod. So the Lord wants to establish his own credibility. That is the explanation he gives. But in Vahansan, Dhruva Loka, it's as well as the spiritual world also. The main thing is, like, more than the place, actually, the consciousness of the person, that is what is important. We have to take the lesson of Dhruva Maharaj, how he practiced devotional service with determination, following the orders of Narada Muni. That is the main lesson. There may be, it seems, according to Prabhupada's purport, there is a slight distinction between Polestar and Shishu Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj went to Dhruva Loka, the Polestar. So there could be some technical difference. I think check the fifth kind, so I'm not remembering the exact. Shishumara planetary system, there is a chapter in fifth canto. And it is just explained that all the planets in this universe, they are all under the control of time. But all these planets which are under the control of time, they are circumambulating Dhruva Loka. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna has kept Dhruva Maharaj as the topmost individual in the whole cosmic manifestation, that all the planets which are under the control of time, they are actually circumambulating Dhruva Loka, which is not under the control of time. So, when you read the fifth canto planetary system, the dimensions of the different planetary systems and the mountains and the oceans, by that we can appreciate the greatness of the Lord. But after hearing all the planetary systems and the dimensions, and then when you read that particular chapter, I think, about the system of the planetary system, how all these planets are revolving around Dhruva Loka, which is like, the Supreme Lord has kept Dhruva Maharaj as the most important individual in the whole universe. So that shows the sweetness of the Lord, how he is making the devotee the most important person in the whole universe. So, there could be some technical difference between this and that. Presently, I'm not aware of what exactly the difference is between Shishumara and Dhruva Loka. Okay. Yeah, Shishumara is in the shape of a dolphin. Okay. The Dhruva Loka is a part of a Shishumara planet. Okay.
So he takes the biggest extension, biggest forms. Associates are also there with him. So are the associates are same associates have different extensions for different personalities? Like Mahabhai, that Dhruvalok, the Lord is saying. So it associates as the same personality or their extensions or their different personalities.
Yeah, there could be expansions. When Krishna appears in this world, the eternal associates, their expansions appear in some of different, sometimes the same original associates, they may come, their expansions may come. Next verse. Maitreya Uvacha Nishamya Vaikuntha Niyojya Mukhyayor Madhutsutam Vachamurukrama Priya Kritabhisheka Kritanitya Mangalo Munin Pranamya Shishamabhya Vadayat.
Two personality of Godhead. When he heard the sweet speeches of the Lord's chief associates in the Vaikuntha planet, he immediately took his sacred bed, dressed himself with suitable ornaments, and performed his daily spiritual duties. Thereafter, he offered his respectful obeisances to the great sages present there and accepted their blessings.
So this is something like very wonderful. The Dhruva Maharaj, even though he was about to board the plane, he first performed his daily spiritual duty and then he took the blessings from all other sages who were present there. So Prabhupada explained that how Dhruva Maharaj was dutiful in his performance in the discharge of devotional duties. It's like, suppose if a person, he has already finished the exam. After finishing the exam, you don't see somebody again studying. But after the result has come and he has passed the exam, he has got admission in the college, we don't see that person again opening the same book and then studying. The whole material world, the modern world, is actually driven by performing something with the expectation of the result. But here Dhruva Maharaj is about to go to the spiritual world, but still he is performing his duties. Devotional duty. That shows that unless a person comes to the platform of performing devotional service and the platform of duty, then we may become restless or after some time. We may become, whatever the education system or the gadgets we deal with or different, whatever systems you see in this world, everything is actually designed to condition our consciousness to expect some result after doing a particular activity. But when you come to spiritual life, we have to somehow cultivate, we have to cultivate our consciousness to perform something, even to perform the duties, even though we are not getting the results. Whether we feel like chanting, whether we get taste or not, we continue to chant the holy name. So Dhruva Maharaj was beautiful in his performance, in his discharge of devotional duties, even though he was about to go to spiritual world. And then another thing is that he did not feel proud of saying that, I am going to the spiritual world, all of you sages, so you are here. But in fact, he took the blessings of those sages and then he boarded the airplane. Parityabhyarthya Dishnyagriyam Parshadav Abhivandhyacha Yeshatat Adishtatum Vibrat Rupam Hiranmayam.
Before getting aboard, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the airplane, Shastimulat leaves, and also offered obeisances to the auspicious of Vishnu. In the meantime, he became as brilliant and illuminating as molten gold. He was thus completely prepared to board the transcendental plane.
So here Prabhupada says that the abode of the Lord, the associates of the Lord, even the airplane from Vaikuntha, they are all spiritual. They are as worshipable as the Supreme Lord. And Dhruva Maharaj knew this, so therefore he first worshipped the airplane and circumambulated the airplane. So we can see, when we say that all are on the spiritual platform, there is oneness between the Supreme Lord and his associates and the airplane from the Vaikuntha. In the sense that they are all spiritual. There is oneness but with variety. But according to Mayavad, when they say everything is one, they think that oneness in terms of that no varieties. But here, there is oneness with varieties. And then he explains that even the temple of the Lord is also, is actually as good as Vaikuntha Loka.
Tadottanapada putro dadar shantakam agatam mrityor murni padam dattva aru rohadbutam griham.
When Dhruva Maharaj was attempting to get on the transcendental plane, he saw death personified approach him. Not caring for death, however, he took advantage of the opportunity to put his feet on the head of death, and thus he got up on the airplane, which was as big as a house.
So here, usually one may think that when a great devotee like Dhruva Maharaj is actually leaving this world, it might... Dhruva Maharaj was boarding the airplane, that's how the description comes. But usually, sometimes when a pure devotee leaves, it may appear like the passing away of any common person. But then, it is not like the death of a common person. Just like Prabhupada's example of a cat. Cat may be carrying the rat in its mouth, and cat may also be carrying the kitten in its mouth. But for the rat, cat appears like a death personified. But for the kitten, looks the cat with great affection. So similarly, in the case of a materialist, he may also die. He may die, but he sees the death with great fear. But in the case of a devotee, he sees the death as he sees it with great pleasure because he knows that he is going to be united with the Lord. So that is the difference between the death of a devotee and the materialist. And then Prabhupada talks about the modern airplanes. He says modern airplanes are packed with so many passengers. But the airplanes which we hear in this the Srimad Bhagavatam, like for example when Kardama Muni went on an airplane along with Devahuti, those airplanes are filled with so many palaces and gardens and lakes, etc. And modern airplanes, they need to be refueled in different stations. But in these airplanes, they have an unlimited supply of fuel, or they can fly even without fuel. Then it's described that different Gandharvas and they all actually, they play the drums and cattle drums, demigod covered flowers. The Dhruva Maharaj, at that time he was thinking, when he was boarding the airplane, he was thinking that about his mother. That how can I go to the spiritual world without my mother? So it's not that Dhruva Maharaj is having some material attachment, but he was thinking that my mother was the person who first gave instruction to me to go to the forest and worship Lord Vishnu. So Suniti was like the Padapradaksha Guru for Dhruva Maharaj. So Prabhupada says many times the Padapradaksha Guru is a Siksha Guru. And many places Siksha Guru is, it may be same as a Diksha Guru. But in the case of Suniti, because she was a woman, she did not become like a Siksha Guru or Diksha Guru. She just gave the instruction to Dhruva Maharaj. But nevertheless, although she was not having some official position of a Siksha Guru or Diksha Guru to Dhruva Maharaj, but still Dhruva Maharaj felt obliged to his mother for giving him the direction to actually go to the, for giving him the direction to worship Vishnu. So at least I remember quite a few lectures Srila Sadhana Swami Maharaj talked about this point. But Suniti actually gave instruction to Dhruva Maharaj 36,000 years back. When he was just 5 years old. But still Dhruva Maharaj remembered that instruction which was given 36,000 years back. So this is what actually, that usually we think memory in terms of like remembering maybe different shlokas or information, etc. But the essence of memory is to remember the good things which others have done. More than actually remembering the facts and figures. So here Dhruva Maharaj remembered that good instruction of Suniti. Therefore, she was actually thinking about Suniti. When Dhruva Maharaj was thinking that, oh, how am I going without Suniti? So that time these two associates, they showed another plane in which Suniti was also going to the spiritual world. So the second paragraph Prabhupada says that Krishna, whatever the Supreme Lord desires, it will be fulfilled by his, it will be carried out by his potencies. So that is one of the qualities of the Supreme Lord is Satya Sankalpa. But a devotee also, because a devotee completely depends on the Lord, whatever a pure devotee desires, that also gets fulfilled by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, a devotee also has a quality of Satya Sankalpa. So he explains this point. Because Dhruva Maharaj desired that his mother also go to the spiritual world, so that desire of Dhruva Maharaj is fulfilled by the associates of the Lord, who showed how his mother was also going in another plane. In that sense, the pure devotee is as good as the Lord. That is the second part of the purport of Prabhupada.
Dhruva Maharaj stepped on the head of death and boarded the plane. So what does it mean? He dropped his material body and went in the spiritual body, or he went with the self-same body to the spiritual world? And whether it is possible?
Actually, it's explained that in one of the purpose, Dhruva Maharaj went to the self-same body. Went to the self-same body to the spiritual world. His body was already spiritual. And in the fourth canto, 23rd chapter, when Sutu Maharaj going back to the spiritual world, there in one of the purports, Vishnu Chakra Thakur explains that only, he says that in the Bhagavatam we hear only in certain places that devotes, like in the case of Pandavas and Dhruva Maharaj, it is explained that they went to the spiritual world in the self-same body. So, in one of the previous purports also, when the Nanda and Sunanda addressed Dhruva Maharaj by the word Ayushman, they said, by addressing him as Ayushman, they indicated to Dhruva Maharaj that he will go to the spiritual world in the self-same body. So, it is explicitly mentioned that Dhruva Maharaj and Pandavas went to the spiritual world in the self-same body. But in the case of other devotees, according to the description of the verses, it may appear that they do not go to the spiritual world in the self-same body. But Vishnu Chakravarti explains in the purport, in the 4th and 23rd chapter, he says that although in other cases, it may appear that they do not go to the spiritual world in the self-same body, but actually, they had already attained the spiritual body, they went to the spiritual world in the self-same body only. It is just it appeared that they left behind the body and then they went on a spiritual body. That is just to that is for the purpose of maintaining the confidentiality of devotional service. Many times, like these associates of the Lord, they may appear to leave their body as if that they are leaving behind the gross body and then they are taking up another body. To maintain the confidentiality of devotional service, they leave their bodies like that. But in certain cases, it is explicitly mentioned in the sense they went to the spiritual world in the self-same body. So otherwise, in all cases, if it is like that, then we may think that devotees are also like that. It's like sometimes Krishna performs superhuman activities. He follows the normal rules as a grahastha, but sometimes he performs superhuman activities. So otherwise, we will think Krishna also to be an ordinary person. So in certain cases only we see that a devotee is going to the spiritual world in the self-same body. So in other cases, it may appear that they leave their body like a normal person and then they... But even in that case also, they actually go to the spiritual world in the self-same body. But externally, it is portrayed like that in order to maintain the confidentiality of devotion.
So, is it the implication of something that his body
No, his body was already spiritual. Not that time. His body was already spiritual. That is just a description is fulgent. In the meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence, and therefore it was illuminating like molten gold. So, because Prabhupada is writing here, his body changed into spiritual existence. But, if we reconcile a different purpose, like sometimes Prabhupada writes this purpose, if we consider different purpose, especially you can refer to that purpose in the 4th canto, 23rd chapter, Prithumara's living his body, when Vishnu Chakotara's purpose, he clarifies this point. And I think in some other purpose also, Prabhupada writes here that Dhrumaraj went to the spiritual world in the self-same body. And Vishnu Chakotara was writing two purpose, that Vishnu Dutas are indicating that he will go to the spiritual world in the self-same body, the present body. Means like his body was already spiritual. Like when we say the body of the spiritual master is spiritual, but then we may think, how is it that he is getting disease, getting, he is growing old. So we say it is spiritual because it is fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Like when we say something is spiritual, one is by application wise and another is composition wise. Composition wise, it is still material in the sense that it also, a devotee also gets disease. But because he is engaged in the service of Lord fully, so his body is spiritual application wise. But in the case of Krishna, his body is not only spiritual from application wise, but it's also it's composed of Satchitananda.
Great attitude of Vaikuntha Loka. Nanda and Sunanda could understand the mind of Dhruva Maharaj, and thus they told him that his mother Sumiti was going forward in another place.
So this is like a famous purport that Prabhupada says that the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading now all over the world, and sometimes I think that even though I am crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha Loka. This Prabhupada's humility is such a So, basically the essence of this purport is that sometimes a person may instruct another person, but another person to take the devotional service. But the person who is instructing, he may not be on as strong as the person whom he is instructing. But the person who is taking that instruction of the person seriously, and he can actually carry the instructor to the spiritual world by his potent devotional service. Like sometimes we see that there is one story I heard that one devotee was practicing devotional service and then he later left, and again he got influenced by his previous bad habits. He was drinking and he was in a drunken state. In the drunken state he was preaching to another person. Because all the whatever philosophy he had heard, the drunken said he preached to another person, and that person, by hearing that philosophy from him, he took the Krishna consciousness. So, people come to devotion in different ways, but here the similarly, Prahlad Maharaj also delivered his atheistic father. The conclusion is that a disciple or an offspring who is a very strong devotee can carry with him to Vaikuntha Loka either his father, mother, or Siksha or Diksha Guru. Next one.
Tatra tatra prashamsadvi patni vaimanika isurai avakiryamano dadrushai kutumai kramasho grahan.
While Dhruva Maharaj was passing through space, he gradually saw all the planets of the solar system. And on the path he saw all the demigods in their airplanes, showering flowers upon him like rain.
So in this purport, Prabhupada says that how Dhruva Maharaj saw all the planets. So that is a proof. Yasmin vijnate sarvamevam vijnatam bhavati. And then Prabhupada talks about the duty of every mother to train the son right from the age of 5 to become a brahmachari from the age of 5 years and undergo austerities and penances for spiritual realization. And the advantage of training the son right from the young age is that the mother can also go back to Godhead by the performance of devotional service of the son. Even though the mother may not be able to practice the same austerities.
Trilokin deva yanena soti vrajya muninapi parastadya dhruvagatir vishnu padamata abhyagat.
Guru Maharaj then surpassed the 7th and the 15th of the great sages who are known as Saptarshi. Beyond that, even he achieved the transcendental situation of permanent life in the planet where Lord Vishnu was.
So now in the 36th and 37th verse, Maitreya Rishi describes the qualification to reach Vaikuntha planet. So these two verses are important, 36th and 37th verse.
Yad brajamanam svaruchaiva sarvato lokasrayo kyanu vibrajantayete yanna vrajan jantu suyena nugraha vrajanti badrani charanti yenisham.
The 12th effulgent Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light, cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only persons who constantly engage in welfare activity for others, living entities, can reach the Vaikuntha planets.
So, a person can, only people who are engaged in the welfare work of others, they can actually reach the Vaikuntha planets. And Vaikuntha planets are described as a self-effulgent, yad brajamanam svaruchaiva sarvato. They illuminate all other planets. So in the first paragraph, Prabhupada talks about these two aspects of the Vaikuntha planet. How the Vaikuntha planets are self-effulgent and they illuminate all other planets. And second aspect is that a person can be transferred to Vaikuntha Loka only when they are engaged in the welfare activities of others. So welfare activities, they mentioned that only when a person is engaged in giving Krishna consciousness to others, because that is the greatest philanthropic work. It does not refer to some altruistic or some ordinary philanthropic work on the bodily platform. And then Prabhupada mentions a very important point. He says that when a person is trying to preach Krishna consciousness, even if others do not become devotees, because he is engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness, at least he is qualified to go to the spiritual world. He will go to the spiritual world. So, that means that even if sometimes we may get discouraged, oh, nobody is becoming devotee. But this is like a hope. He personally becomes qualified to enter Vaikuntha Loka because he is engaged in giving Krishna consciousness to others. And then in the last part of the paragraph, he compares the karmis versus jnanis versus yogis and bhaktas. The karmis, they are simply interested in sense gratification. Sometimes they may even kill innocent animals. And jnanis, they may not be as sinful as the karmis, but they do not try to reclaim others to, for going back to God. And the yogi is, in the sense that the jnanis are also self-centered. But the yogis, they are also interested in self-aggrandizement by trying to acquire different mystic powers. But only a devotees are actually, they come forward in the actual field of work in Krishna consciousness to reclaim fallen souls. The next verse describes some more qualities which a person should have in order to go to the spiritual world. Shanta samadrita shuddha sarva bhutanu ranjana yantyanjasa chutapadam achyuta priya bandhava.
Persons who are peaceful, equipoised, cleansed and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with devotees of the Lord. They alone can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to God.
So, the four qualities are shanta, the devotees, people who are peaceful, samadrita, equipoised, shuddha, those who are completely purified, sarva bhutanu ranjana, those who know the art of pleasing others. Only such people can go to the spiritual world. And those who keep friendship with only with the devotees of the Lord, Achyuta Priya Bandhava. So the Prabhupada says the devotees are only completely peaceful. But in the case of the karmis, they are always demanding different material sense gratification. And in the case of the jnanis, they are too busy trying to achieve liberation. And in the case of the yogis, they are actually so restless trying to acquire mystic power. So, what is that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atayeva Shanta. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Takali Ashanta. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atayeva Shanta. And then Prabhupada quotes that Samadrishta and Sarva Bhuta Anuranjana. Persons in Krishna consciousness are devotees of the Lord can please everyone as is evident in the Krishna consciousness movement. And then after the comments on the word of Shuddha also. So one thing we can see is that sometimes we may say that as long as we are practicing devotional service, that is sufficient. But here, this verse explains how one has to develop certain qualities. Only when a person has these qualities, then a person can go to spiritual world. Means like we have to examine whether our practice of devotional service is resulting in the development of these qualities. So when we actually see other devotees, we may have to focus on the primary qualities of being fixed in devotional service, even if they sometimes behave in a rough manner. But when it comes to ourselves, we should see that whether my practice of devotional service is actually resulting in the development of these qualities. We have to judge ourselves by this secondary aspect of development of Vaishnava qualities. When it comes to others, we may have to focus on the primary aspect of being fixed in the principles of executing devotional service. Next verse. Ityuttanupada putro dhruva krishna parayana abhutrayanam lokanam chuda manirivamalaha.
The Tulli Krishna Master Dhruva Maharaj, the exalted son of Maharaj Uttanapa, attained the summit of the three statuses of planetary system.
So, you see, Krishna Parayana, like different times, Prabhupada, like word comes, Vasudeva Parayana, Kechit, Kevalaya Bhaktya, Vasudeva Parayana, Agam Dunvan Sikatsina, Nigaram Yo Bhaskara. The word Shruti Parayana comes. Anyetseva Majananta Mrityam Shruti Parayana. Shruti Parayana means devotees of the process of hearing. So here the word Krishna Parayana means a fully Krishna conscious person. Next verse. Gambira Vego Animisham Jyotisham Chakra Mahitam
Yasmin Brahmati Kauravya Medyam Yivagavam Ganaha.
Saint Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidur, descendant of Puru, as a herd of bulls circumambulate a central pole on their right side, all the luminaries within the universal sky unceasingly circumambulate the abode of Dhruva Maharaj with great force and speed."
So, it is described that how all the luminaries are actually revolving this Dhruva Loka. The Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport in that fifth canto. He says that it is distinctly stated that all the luminaries revolve by the influence of the Supreme Time Factor. And this time factor is another feature of the Supreme Lord. Everyone is under the influence of time factor, but the Supreme Lord is so kind and loves his devotee Dhruva Maharaj so much that he has placed all the luminaries under the control of Dhruva's planet. And he has arranged for the time factor to work under him or with his cooperation. So this shows actually the like when I was reading the fifth canto, like this purport was like the highlight of the whole purport. Fifth canto, 23rd chapter, 2nd verse. Because the whole the planetary system description, such gigantic dimensions are given, it by that we can understand the greatness of the Lord. And then finally, when this purport comes, we can understand the sweetness of the Lord. How the Lord, who is so great, he has made his devotee as the most important individual in the whole universe. That everything is actually done according to the will and direction of the Supreme Lord. But to make his devotee Dhruva the most important individual within the universe, the Lord has placed the activities of the time factor under his control. So Prabhupada says, we can only imagine how highly exalted the actual position of a devotee is. And certainly we cannot even conceive how exalted is the position of the Supreme Lord.
Mahimanam vilokyasya narado bhagavan rishihi atodyam vitudan shlokan satre gayat prachetasam.
After observing the glories of Dhruva Maharaj, the great sage Narad, playing his vina, went to the sacrificial arena of the and very happily chanted the following three verses.
So now the next three verses are Maitreya Rishi is describing the three verses spoken by Narada Muni as a glorification of Dhruva Maharaj in the assembly of the Prachetas. So one thing we can see here is, from this we can understand how Dhruva Maharaj is most dear to Narada Muni. Prabhupada writes in one of the future purports, Narada Muni had many disciples, but Dhruva Maharaj was the most dear disciple of Narada Muni. Usually, when we are in the presence of another person, then we are actually, even if we have some bad thoughts about the other person, we may tend to behave nicely with that person, we may tend to glorify that person, appreciate that person. What we actually speak about the other person in the absence of the other person, that actually shows what is our opinion about that person. So when somebody is glorifying one person even in the absence of that person, so that means that he really appreciates the other person, because there is no pressure on him that he has to appreciate. And another thing is that, like, sometimes even in the absence of the person, when that person is living, we may still appreciate that person, because we may know that maybe this person will tell to the other person, oh, you spoke about him this way to this, you spoke this wrong words about this person. When the person has already passed, still if you are appreciating, that means you really actually have appreciated towards that person. And what to speak of when you are actually appreciating that person even after many years after he had passed away. Because if you see, in the case of Prachetas, they are not like the immediate descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. Prachetas, they come much later in the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj
Dromadeva, how many generations, but Dromaraj, after many generations, after like Prachinabharishan Santa Prachetha. So that means, like when Narada Muni, when he goes to assembly of the Prachetas and he's glorifying about Dromaraj, that means we can imagine how dear Dromaraj was to Narada Muni. How much dear Dromaraj was to Narada Muni. So we can see, like in one lecture, Shivaram Maharaj was explaining, that in the case of Daksha Prajapati and Dhruva Maharaj, if you see, Daksha Prajapati, you see them later in the 6th canto, he also performed a devotional service, Hamsa Vijaya Prayas, with a material motive. But Dhruva Maharaj also performed devotional service with a material motive. But in the case of Daksha Prajapati, although he also performed intense, Lord appeared to him, and he also performed devotional service, when the Lord appeared, he did not become free from the material disease. He still asked for, please give me the capacity to actually procreate children. But in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, when the Lord appeared, he did not ask for his previous material disease because he was completely purified of the material disease. So why is it that, like what made the difference that, why Daksha Prajapati did not become free from material disease, but Dhruva Maharaj became free from material disease? Because the reason is that in the case of Daksha Prajapati, although he executed devotional service, but there is an offense to a great devotee was involved. Offense to Lord Shiva was involved. Although, like 2 weeks back we discussed that, although Daksha Prajapati had forgiveness from Lord Shiva, but still he did not achieve the favor of Lord Shiva. So still the residual offense was involved. So because of that offense, he did not ask for pure devotional service, he still asked for something material. And the Lord also cast him on the path of karma only. And then he committed another offense in Narada Muni later. But in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, although he performed a devotional service with a material desire, but here what is involved is a service to a devotee was involved. He performed intense devotional service, but more than that, he actually followed the instructions of Narada Muni with great determination. In that sense, he actually pleased Narada Muni. He followed the instructions. There is a service to a Vaishnava, pure devotee was involved. So because that made the difference that when the Lord appeared, he was completely purified of the material disease. But in the case of Daksha Prajapati, there was an offense to a Vaishnava was involved. So therefore, he did not become, he was not freed from the material disease. And in fact, he explained in that class that when the Lord appeared to Daksha Prajapati, Lord tells to Daksha Prajapati that you are very dear to me because your desire is same as my desire. You want to procreate children and it is same as my desire because I want the creation to expand. But in the case of Daksha Prajapati, Lord was pleased with Daksha Prajapati more for an official reason. But he was not pleased with him actually. Because if he had been pleased with Daksha Prajapati from the heart, then he would have given Daksha Prajapati what is really dear to the Lord. He would have actually given him devotional service. But he was pleased with Daksha Prajapati more for official reason because he was holding the post of a Prajapati. And he wanted to do some particular service and that is also desired by the Lord. But in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, the Lord was not pleased with Dhruva Maharaj for some official reason, but he was actually pleased with Dhruva Maharaj. Even though he actually told him to go to Dhruva Loka, he said after ruling the earth for 30,000 years, you will actually go to Dhruva Loka. But he was actually pleased with Dhruva Maharaj because he had executed the instructions of Narada Muni, he had served Narada Muni. So we can see, like from these verses, like how Dhruva Maharaj was so dear to Narada Muni that even after so many lakhs of years, Narada Muni is going to the assembly of the Prachetas, he is actually glorifying the activities of Dhruva Maharaj to Prachetas. We will recite this in the next 3 verses.
Narada Vacha. नूनं सुनीते पतिदेवताया तपप्रभावस्य सुतस्य तां गतिं दृष्ट्वाभ्युपायान् अपि वेदवादिनो नैवाधिगन्तुम् प्रभवन्ति किं नृपा.
The great sage Narada said, simply by the influence of his spiritual advancement and powerful austerity, Dhruva Maharaj, the son of Suniti, who was devoted to her husband, acquired an exalted position not possible to attain even for so-called Vedantists, or strict followers of Vedic principles, not to speak of ordinary human beings.
So here he says, Dhruva Maharaj attained such a position which cannot be attained even by the Vedavadas, the strict followers of Vedic rituals, are what to speak of ordinary things. So Vishnu Chakrabarti gives an additional insight as he says that the followers of the Vedas and what to speak of the ordinary kings, they could not obtain the method by which he attained the goal, and what to speak of the actual attainment of Dhruva Maharaj. So he is giving additional one more point. They could not even attain the method by which Dhruva Maharaj attained the goal, and what to speak of actually attaining the goal of Dhruva Maharaj, attaining the goal of Dhruva Maharaj. So here so Prabhupada says Vedavada can refer to two kinds of people. One is that those who advertise themselves as followers of Vedanta philosophy but who misinterpret the Vedanta, or it can refer to those who are attached to the Vedas without understanding the purport of the Vedas. So it can refer to both these kind of people. So therefore he says, but without devotional service, neither a great king, a kshatriya, nor a great brahmana can be elevated to the exalted position. Yaha pancha varsho gurudara vaksharai vinnena yato hudayena duyata vanam madadesha karojitam prabhum jigaya tadbhakta gunai parajitam.
The great sage Narada continued, just see how Dhruva Maharaj agreed at the harsh words of his stepmother, went to the forest at the age of only 5 years, and under my direction underwent austerity. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unconquerable, Dhruva Maharaj defeated him with the specific qualification possessed by the Lord's devotees.
So Prabhupada, the purport of first, he talks about how the Lord is called as Ajita, unconquerable, but he becomes conquered by his devotees. He gives the example of Mother Yashoda, and then he quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Lord likes the chastisement of his pure devotees more than the maybe chanting of the Vedic hymns. And then the next point, which is the most important lesson from the Dhruva Maharaj, is that he says that Dhruva Maharaj executed devotional service under the direction of Narada Muni. And this is the first principle of devotional service. So within the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the 64 items which Rupa Goswami mentioned, Rupa Goswami says the first 3 items are the most important. But he talks about other 5 most important forms of devotional service, but he says first 3 items, Adav Guru Padashraya and Vishambena Guru Seva and Diksha, taking initiation of the spiritual master. So this is the most important lesson. Dhruva Maharaj followed the instruction of Narada Muni. And then the last paragraph, Prabhupada talks about, again he talks about conquering the unconquerable. So for that he quotes the different verses in the Bhagavatam in which it is mentioned that Lord is Ajita, but he can be conquered. So the famous verses, Tane Sita Sutigatam Tanuvan Manobir Ye Prayesho Jitajitais Apitaisilokya. If a person simply being situated in whatever position he is, but if he simply hears about the Supreme Lord, the unconquerable Lord becomes conquered. There's another verse in the 7th canto which comes there, in the Varnashram section. When a person gives up the attachment towards the wife, the unconquerable Lord becomes conquered by the person. Right here, explained with respect to divorce. So then another point which Prabhupada writes is that in the case of the Mayavadis, they want to become one with the Lord. But devotional service is a process by which a person becomes greater than the Lord. He can even conquer the Lord. So 43rd verse.
యక్షత్రబంధుర్భువితస్యాదిరూఢం అన్వారు రుక్షేతపి వర్షపూగై షట్పంచవర్షో యదహోభిరల్పై ప్రసాద్య వైకుంఠమవాప తత్పదం.
Dhruva Maharaj attained an exalted position at the age of only 5 or 6 years. After undergoing austerity for 6 months, alas, a great Kshatriya cannot achieve such a position even after undergoing austerity for many, many years.
So here Prabhupada, he comments on the word Kshatra Bandur. Dhruva Maharaj is called as the Kshatra Bandur, that means a relative of a Kshatriya, or who was not fully trained as a Kshatriya. So he says that because Dhruva Maharaj initially, in 5 years old, he was not trained in Kshatriya, so therefore the word Kshatra Bandhu was used. So he says that even if a person is born in a Brahmana family or Kshatriya family, only after training he becomes a Brahmana or Kshatriya, otherwise he is called as a Brahma Bandhu or Kshatra Bandhu. But Vishnu Chakravarti gives a different angle to the same word. He says that even the best Kshatriya is like a Kshatra Bandhu in compared to Dhruva Maharaj. Even the best of Kshatriyas is like the lowest Kshatriya, a Kshatriya Bandhu, when compared to Dhruva Maharaj. So then, on the second paragraph, Prabhupada talks about, he compares Dhruva Maharaj versus Bharat Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj attained the spiritual world in one lifetime, but Bharat Maharaj achieved in 3 lifetimes. And then he quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's quote, and he says that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that every one of his disciples could attain Vaikuntha Loka in this life without waiting for another life to execute devotional service. One simply has to become as serious and sincere as Dhruva Maharaj. Then it is quite possible to attain Vaikuntha Loka and go back home, back to Godhead. So now the rest of the verses are spoken by Maitreya Rishi as follows to the this whole episode. So we'll quickly go through this verses.
ఏతత్తె అభిజితం సర్వం యత్ పృష్టోహం ఇదత్వయ ధ్రువస్యోద్దామ యశసః చరితం సమ్మతం సతాం.
My dear Vidura, whatever you have asked from me about the great reputation and character of Dhruva Maharaj, I have explained to you in all details. Great saint was an devotee, very much like to hear about Dhruva Maharaj.
So here, Prabhupada writes, although it is Palasthuti, some of the purports of Prabhupada are like very inspiring. Like Prabhupada in this purport, he says, neophyte devotees, they directly jump to Radha Krishna pastime and they consider these stories are unimportant. But if you see, Radha and Krishna, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, they would discuss the stories of Dhruva Maharaj hundreds of times. But the Sarajiya mentality is that they neglect these stories and directly go to Radha Krishna pastimes. And then Prabhupada, he says that one should not avoid even a word of Srimad Bhagavatam. A sincere devotee should read every chapter and every word of Srimad Bhagavatam. For the beginning verses describe that it is a ripened fruit of all Vedic literature. A devotee should not try to avoid even a word of Srimad Bhagavatam. As I give an example of that Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. The Srimad Bhagavatam is like a stone puppet, even where the box is made of stone puppet. If you look at the other scriptures, you cannot eat the box. You can eat only the sweet within the inside the box. But in the case of Srimad Bhagavatam, even if a particular verse does not directly appear to be glorifying the Supreme Lord, but it is actually made of own property, one should not miss even a single word. So then he talks about the Palasthuti.
Danyam yashasyam ayushyam punyam sasyayanam mahat swargyam dravyam saumanasyam prashasyam agamarshanam.
By hearing the narration of Dhruva Maharaj, one can fulfill desire for wealth, reputation and increased duration of life. It is so auspicious that one can even go to the heavenly planet or attain Dhruva Lok, which was achieved by Dhruva Maharaj, just by hearing about it. The demigods also became pleased because this narration is so glorious and it is so powerful that it can counteract all the results of one's sinful actions.
there are so many words about danyam, one who wants wealth or reputation or long life or pious activity, wants to perform pious activity or saumanasya means pleasing to the mind. And Vishnachakva Thakur says that Dhruva Maharaj's narrations are suitable even for the devatas. It is not that these Phalasruti is meant only for the human beings. He is saying it is meant, is actually meant even for the devatas. And then Swargyam Dravyam. By hearing this, one can attain heavenly planet, or one can attain even the Dhruvaloka planet, or one can eradicate all the sins. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says that the word Akama Sarva Kamova, it not only applies with respect to the Supreme Lord, it applies even with respect to the devotees of the Lord. It is not that only this verse is Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, means you have to perform intense devotional services of hearing about the Supreme Lord. No, even when you hear about Dhruva Maharaj, even with a material desire or the desire for liberation, etc., one can attain that result. So, Akama Sarva Kama, this verse applies even with the devotees of the Lord. Shrutvaita Shraddaya Bhikshnam Achyuta Priya Cheshtitam Bhavet Bhaktir Bhagavati Yayasya Klesha Sanshayah.
Anyone who hears the narration of Dhruva Maharaj and who repeatedly tries with faith and devotion to understand his pure character, attains the pure devotional platform and executes pure devotional service. By such activities, one can diminish the threefold miserable conditions of material life.
So, you see, it's explained that, especially these two words, Prabhupada writes in the purport, that the glories of Dhruva Maharaj are pleasing and also potent. As the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord are pleasing to hear, hearing about his devotees is also pleasing and potent. There is a verse in the Rukmini pastime, the 10th canto, where Parikshit Maharaj says, please tell about this particular pastime which is like a sweet medicine. Krishna Katha is like a sweet medicine. Normally something which is like sweet, when you hear the word medicine, usually it is actually bitter in nature. But Krishna Katha is like a medicine which is very powerful but also pleasing. So then the next verse it is explained, Mahatvam Ichyatam Tirtham. If a person hears, if a person wants to become a great person, the person who desires greatness, one can hear Dhruva Maharaj fasting. Or Shrotu Shila Dayo Guna. If a person wants to acquire good qualities, one should hear Dhruva Maharaj. Or Yatra Tejas Tavichuna. If a person wants to attain great power, one can hear Dhruva Maharaj. Or Mano Yatra Manaspiram. If a person wants to attain some reputation, one can attain Dhruva Maharaj. This one. In other words, all ambitions desirable for great persons are fulfilled by hearing the stories of Dhruva Maharaj. And the next verse says, 48th verse says that one should hear and chant the glories of Dhruva Maharaj in the association of twice born Brahmanas, Samavaye Dvijanmanam, in a society of Brahmanas or other twice born. So Prabhupada writes that, especially when we discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the society of devotees, in the association of devotees, then it is quickly effective. Then he says the purpose of ISKCON is to actually provide that association where we can discuss Krishna Katha in the morning and evening. Then he says that about the twice born, anybody can become twice born through the process of initiation and authorized training. Anybody can become twice born. Then he says that although the study of the Vedas is actually prohibited for the Shudras, but is prohibited for the Shudras, but simply by academic qualification, a Shudra cannot understand the transcendental science. So here he mentions an important point. So Shudras are not supposed to study the Vedas. Another, he says the modern education system, it is actually designed to produce Shudras. And then he says that a big technology is nothing but a Shudra. In one purport in the seventh canto, he mentioned technology is meant for the Sudras, Vedas are meant for the Brahmanas. Then finally, in the purport, he explains another purpose of ISKCON. He says, another purpose of ISKCON is to create qualified Brahmanas to broadcast spiritual knowledge all over the world. For thus, people may become very happy. So, one purpose he mentions to provide the association where we can discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, another to create qualified Brahmanas. Then, 49th and 50th verse, he says that. You can read a translation of this verse.
Persons who have completely taken shelter of lotus feet of the Lord should recite this narration of the Dhruva Maharaj without taking remuneration. Specifically, recitation is recommended on the full moon or dark moon day, on the day after Ekadashi, on the appearance of Shravan star at the end of a particular tithi, or the occasion of Yatipat at the end of a month, or on Sunday. Such recitation should of course be performed before a favorable audience. When the recitation is performed this way without professional motives, the reciter and audience become perfect.
Especially, four essential points in this verse is that Prabhupada explains that one should recite Dhruva Maharaj's pastime without any motivation for getting some wealth, without any aspiring for some remuneration. And then he explains, this verse explains the time in which, the time and day in which one should recite this pastime. And thirdly, one should recite this pastime in the favorable audience. And when we do these things, what is the result? The reciter and the audience, everyone becomes perfect. So Prabhupada focuses in the purport about one should recite Srimad Bhagavatam not as a business, but one should recite Srimad Bhagavatam completely dependent on the Lord for one's maintenance or one's the maintenance of the family. So Vishnu Chakotakur writes a brilliant purport, just a short purport. He says, when a devotee is actually reciting Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, or for that matter any pastime Srimad Bhagavatam, he should think, he should recite without aspiring for remuneration. He should think that these devotees are hearing with faith, and this is the payment for my speaking Krishna Katha. This devotee is hearing with faith the topics of Krishna that I am reciting, and that is my payment. And when a person has this attitude, then a person attains perfection. So then it's explained, the narration of Dhruva Maharaj is sublime knowledge for the attainment of immortality. Persons unaware of the absolute truth can be led to the path of truth. And those who out of transcendental kindness take on the responsibility of becoming master protectors of the poor living entities automatically gain the interest and blessings of the demigods. So Prabhupada explains, in the first paragraph he explains the word jnanam ajnana tattvaya. The purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to actually enlighten people about the absolute truth. So that is why Veda Vyas was instructed by Narada Muni to write Srimad Bhagavatam. He elaborates on this first line in the first paragraph. And then he explains the word Amritam. He says, devotional service which leads to association of Supreme Lord is actual immortality. And then he explains the word that Dinanatha. Not only Krishna is called as Dinanatha, but even those people who distribute the Bhagavad knowledge, they are also called as Dinanatha. And then he explains the last line of the verse, Deva Tatyanu Grishnate. That means Prabhupada explains that those who actually preach Krishna consciousness, they actually become very dear to the demigods. All the demigods are pleased with such devotees. And that's why Vishnu Chakotakur says that the demigods, they do not give obstacles to people who are actually preaching Krishna consciousness. And then, can read the translation of the last verse.
Are well known all over the world and they are very pure. In the childhood, Dhruva Maharaj rejected all kind of toys and playthings, left the protection of his mother and seriously took shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. My dear Vidura, I therefore conclude this narration that I have described to you all its details.
So, especially these two words, Dhruva Maharaj's story is famous and transcendental. Vishuddha and Vikyata. Vishuddha and Vikyata. So Prabhupada says that if one acts, Chanakya Pandit says that if a person acts properly, his reputation will remain for a generation. But Krishna is everlastingly famous. Not only Krishna is everlastingly famous, but Dhruva Maharaj is also everlastingly famous. And not only is everlastingly famous, his story is actually pure and transcendental. So in that way, Maitreya Rishi concludes this narration. So I'll stop here. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద గౌరవ భక్తవృంద.